direct. From Guano Productions headquarters in the Los Angeles Underground, it's time for your new favorite podcast, The Superiority Complex. It's like honey in your ear holes.
You're positive.
I'm already started. That's my professional opening. That's the kind of podcast you're listening
just
to.
Heavy breathing.
I didn't even finish my notes here. Welcome back to the Superiority Complex, guys.
Yeah.
Our second episode in a row after our brief hiatus. And now I'm going on hiatus again because I'm going to Hawaii next week.
So jealous.
I'm not going to introduce you at all today. I'm going to see if people can guess.
I should talk in a totally different voice then.
Yeah, do it.
Well, it's too late now.
Do you think
it's the thought that counts.
Who do you guys think it is? Text me right now. Shoot me your answer at Twitter.
Call me, beep me if you want to reach me. Although if someone could beep you, that'd be really, really impressive. Because I didn't think that they existed anymore.
I think doctors still carry.
Do they?
You know what? I will show you. Check this out. I'm pulling out evidence.
Do they though?
My dead dentist.
Oh, okay.
Well, my dentist passed away.
Oh my god, my orthodontist passed away too.
Who was your orthodontist?
I don't know his name.
Was he in Garden Grove?
No, he was Asian too, so.
Yeah, Dr. Richard Oh, he was a really great dentist. I found him on 1-800-DENTIST. I don't care what anyone says about that.
He wasn't in Garden Grove. He was in Roland Heights.
Oh, cool. Well, obviously. Where else would he be?
Right?
Mild racism is always the best. Julie Kang, speaking of racism. Julie Kang is...
Racism.
That's one thing about you, your people. Yeah, I heard you guys are good at math.
What do you mean, your people?
And you're also racist.
Actually, the second one is very true.
You know what, though? We've talked about this on the show before.
We have.
And it's always like you're allowed to slam your own culture somehow. I'm not saying it's okay, but I'm just saying I think, you know, society is kind of like, well, you know, as long as they don't.
No, it's because you're like aware of the culture, you're in it. So like who would know better than you? I mean, like, I have a lot to say about the Chinese culture, good and bad.
Yes.
But no, that totally makes sense.
You know, when I worked at the Buddhist temple, I've told you this story before. That's where I realized that certain Asian cultures really do not like each other. Because those little kids had nothing good to say about, I'm not going to start anything, but they had nothing good to say about certain like other, you know what I mean? But it reminds me of growing up in the Mexican culture and it's like, we're going to make jokes at the expense of the Guatemalans or, you know what I mean? It's not that it's okay, but it happens. It's so weird how there's that intercultural sort of, I think it's just a healthy competition.
It just makes me laugh because they're like, all Asians are the same. I'm like, well, no. First of all, no. And second of all, some groups of Asians like really hate each other.
Well, you know, so. And then if you grow up, and I don't want to sound like one of those people like, well, I have a Korean friend. So. No, but I mean, if you grow up with a friend who's, you know, if you have a friend who's Chinese and you see someone who's Japanese, there are differences. You can tell and so you're just like, okay, you know, that person doesn't look exactly the same, but it's just the way people, hey, stereotyping saves time, you know? But here it is, Dr. Richard O, or Dr. Richard Y-O, DDS.
I still have that.
I still have it, because it hasn't been that long. At the bottom, emergency pager.
Oh, look at that. So I've never paid attention to that before.
It's right on the bottom.
So but then again, like, I haven't gotten to know, like, a doctor or of any sort well enough to...
Now, the new, these are his cards. This is...
that's cute. It's a smiley face.
It's Family Dental Office in Garden Grove on Garden Grove Boulevard. If you're in Southern California, head on down there.
Plug.
They're really great. Dude, they have saved me so much money over the years.
Nice.
I used to have dental insurance, and I have to have a crown put in. I went to the dentist yesterday. Mm-hmm. It's going to cost me like a third of what it would cost if I had insurance.
Really?
As a cash patient. Yes.
Wow.
They're really nice. They're really, really good. So if you're... And they do good work, so I can't say enough about it. So free plug for – also, speaking of free plugs, we're here at the beautiful Undercity Studios.
It's gorgeous. I'm super impressed right now. Like, it's like brand spanking new, you can tell, and everything's really organized, and it's big and roomy, and I don't know. I love it.
It took us 10 seconds to get set up, and we're here, and we're recording. I had to run out to my car. That's why I was breathing heavy. I left my phone in the car and I have no way to time the show.
Left me here to talk to myself.
And you didn't last very long talking to yourself.
No, it's really weird.
You know what? I'm glad we got a chance to, because the way it works now is I'll give you guys a little peek behind the curtain now. Because of where we moved, I'm kind of centrally located to everybody who is, almost everybody who's regularly on the show. Mm-hmm. So what I have everybody do is they come over to the house, and then we have like a 20-minute drive to come down here to beautiful Uptown Whittier. And so it was nice to just catch up and get all that catching up out of the way. Because we haven't seen each other in a while. It's been a while since you've been here. It's been a while since we've really talked. And I always chat with you on – I'll hit you up at like – because you'll be on Facebook at like 1 in the morning.
I know. I'm a night owl. I can't be so much anymore because I work really early.
And I'll just send you a message here or there. And we always – it's always like 2 or 3 lines, and it's just like, hey, blah, blah, blah. Mm-hmm. But it's – we know that we're there. We're aware of one another.
Yeah. And it's always like – nerdy stuff too.
Yeah, it's always like, oh my god, did you see?
Or like, oh my god, I did this thing. It's like awesome. And yes, then, yeah.
that's what the nice thing about having a nerdy friend, because I think the last message you on Facebook you posted, this is something I want to talk about. We're gonna we'll jump right in and talk about this. You posted pictures of yourself playing the X-Wing, the Star Wars X-Wing game,
the miniatures game,
and it's your friend's game.
Yeah, it's not mine.
So. But it is awesome.
It's so much fun. And like, I'm really glad these friends I've been friends with like for years and years since I started working at Disney. But recently kind of got reconnected with them because they know I'm a little bit of a homebody nowadays. But thankfully, what they like to do is have board game nights.
Yes.
You know, and I'm like, that is my kind of night out. If I'm like, if I'm working till like 6:30 or 7 at night and I have a tiny amount of time before I have to go to bed, before I get up early in the morning to work again. Like, I would rather do something chill and with people that are cool.
Yeah.
That I know already. Like, I'm weird, like, kind of hermity right now where, like, I'm past the point where I want to, like, go out and meet a bunch of new people.
Yeah.
Like, I just kind of, like, want friends that are close to me to spend time with, you know?
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, so they want to do board games. And so we played, what was it, the Battle Monsters, but
I don't know.
It's
what
a
that
card
is.
Game. I saw it right out front, but I forgot. There's like dungeons.
And yeah.
So we play that game, the miniatures game. We've done Star Wars.
Do you want to hear something? I'm going to lose my street cred. That is the first game I've ever played with multi-sided die.
What?
And I'm
Really?
Yeah. You would think being a nerd. I never got into D&D as a kid.
No, me neither.
A lot of people like that was the big multi-sided die, and I never had to have a multi-sided die. You know, I would play a lot of board games, but they were your standard Milton Bradley. I love Monopoly growing up. Risk, you know, all the Stratego.
Right. Yeah.
Game of Life.
Yeah.
Hi-Ho Chariot. that was big at my cousin's house. But, I had all these. So when I saw it here, I just liked the models, and I was like, this is really cool. And the basic concept of the game is it's a strategy game along the lines of, like, you know, I would say it's like a three-dimensional battleship. Kind of,
except you can see what's going on the other side.
You see what's going on the other side.
Yeah, it takes more planning.
It takes more planning. And the thing is, you're basically, it's an open, the way my daughter and I did it is we played on the kitchen table, and you know our table's that weird diamond-shaped table. Yeah. Weird triangle. So we just said, okay, you can use the whole, I just said, you know, because I think of the instructions, it's like use a 2x2 area.
Which, I mean.
But if you want to use your whole darn dining room table, why not?
Yeah.
And so you basically roll, and you set the moves you're going to make. And so the whole thing is you're just trying to outmaneuver and outgun your opponent. And there's like, you have to measure the shots, and you roll the dice to see how many hits you've taken. And it's, you know, there to, but it's so much fun because it's basically like playing a video game or it's like playing chess, but there's no real, you have the entirety of whatever surface you're playing on. If you don't set those rules, you know, my daughter kept flying along the edge of the dining room table. Like that was her thing, but it's so much fun because it was a blast. We had a great time. I did the first time she had a blast. The second time we opened it up and used the whole table, and then she just kept running. So she's like, I'm bored now.
Well, yeah, if you don't go on the offensive or anything like that.
Yeah. Do you have, are there a lot of games like that you play that are just out of the, what are some board games you would,
just like recently. Cause like I said, I haven't really gone out a lot lately. It's just like I said, with these friends, I just play whatever they have, you know, like last time we hung out, we didn't even play, I don't think we played any board games. Like we just played card games that.
Yeah.
One of them taught us how to play a game called golf, I guess. That was really fun. But it's just whatever they have. And, like, this is Battle... It's going to bother me now. Like, what are they called? The Battle Monsters one with the dungeon, that's fun. And
is that boss monster?
Boss monsters.
Yeah.
That's what it's called.
Yeah. Yes. Somebody told me about Victoria told me about that last time. I think she was trying.
It's fun. I like it.
I mean, you know what's cool is the kid is older now, and like we just moved into our new place, so we just unpacked all these board games that we have. Mm-hmm. And then since I've been coming here, they have all kinds of like, oh, it's Doctor Who Monopoly. Oh, it's Marvel Comics. Yeah. So it's really cool. They have Doctor Who Risk and their Daleks. It's like different factions of Daleks.
I didn't know that existed.
It's here. I think we have it here. They have it here at the shop.
Don't tempt me. I don't.
Listen, it's Risk.
The funds.
It's risky. well, now I know what to get you for your birthday or Christmas. When is your birthday?
March.
Well, it's gone now, so you have to wait. What's your sign? What was that? I'm going to pick you up like we're in a 70s bar.
What's my sign? I am in Aries.
What does that mean?
It's a ram. So they're supposed to be like hard-headed and passionate, I guess, because it's the fire sign.
Yeah.
I don't know. Yeah. I don't really believe in that kind of stuff.
I don't either, but do you feel like it – you.
There are some things – I mean, there are some things that I can like – I see posted about Aries like personality-wise where I'm like, okay, yeah, that kind of makes sense. But as far as like horoscope things go and being able to like predict your future based on your sign and the star alignments, like,
I think it was The Onion did a really good fake like horoscope, and it was like,
they do one like every week.
But they actually like broke it down to give like the characteristics. And I always remember Scorpio because it's like, nobody likes Scorpios, blah, 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 whatever. And then the last line was, most Scorpios are murdered.
Oh, God.
It really made me laugh. It's like, oh, yeah, I could see myself getting into an argument over something stupid and then
just with the wrong person,
and then just,
too.
Yeah, I just get murdered.
Right.
I could see that happen.
It's awful.
Speaking of games, Julie, I'm gonna tell you a story right now.
Okay.
And what's going to happen is your eyes are going to roll into your skull and you're just going to fall forward. Basically, when I start talking to you right now, you're just going to hear dial tone.
Okay.
And I feel badly for you because you are the absolute wrong person. And I had no idea this was going to happen when we set up this to you to record today, but you got to give me like 5 minutes.
Okay.
And what I should have done was let you talk to Victoria and then me just scream into the microphone for 5 minutes.
Okay. Okay. Go on.
I went to the Dodgers game last night.
Okay.
Look at
I see.
Do you know what happened?
Sports.
Do you know what happened last?
Someone pitched really well.
Yes. Someone pitched.
I know that much.
Someone pitched a no hitter.
Oh, that's actually, I know that's a good thing.
Yeah.
I know it's amazing.
So the difference between a perfect game and a no hitter, in a perfect game, no one ever reaches base. No one ever gets.
Ooh.
What happened was someone reached base in the seventh inning. Mm-hmm. So he had a perfect game going all through seven. No one reached. He was just striking out people left and right. It was nuts. It was insane.
Mm-hmm.
In the seventh inning, someone got a hit. The fielder fielded it, but he overthrew the throw to first base.
Oh.
And so the runner got on
so
that
close.
Way. So he still got a no hitter because technically he did. There was the run was charged to the fielder because you know in the rules of baseball.
Right.
So in my mind, the reason perfect games are hard is because not only does the pitcher have to be perfect, but all of the fielding has to be perfect.
Yeah.
So you know, fly balls, all that sort of stuff. So, but it was literally. And it was funny because I know you're not a sports guy, but I mean, I'm sure you've been to baseball games. Where,
I have, yeah.
And so, you know, baseball, the pace of baseball lends itself to a very, we can sit here and talk about boss monster in the middle of all the game. And, you know, and then every once in a while, oh, look, home run. And then, okay. So anyway,
I like going to games.
Yeah.
I just
I got to, I know, but I have to say this because it was literally the most as a lifelong fan of not just the Dodgers, but just of baseball.
Mm-hmm.
The fact I never thought I was ever going to see that, and I joke every time it's a running joke I have. If the first hit the opposing team gets, I always go, "Oh, there goes our no hitter!" Like you know, just joking because you're never going to see one. You're literally you're never going to see one. And so I got to be there with like my brother, my older brother, who is a huge Dodgers fan, and then my cousin John, and he and I grew up going to baseball games together. And he, as much as I'm a fan, he is the most passionate of fans,
right?
So just to be there and be in the middle of a crowd where something like that goes on is it was I don't think it's anything I'll ever forget.
Mm-hmm.
And when he finally got the last strike, I mean the place just went nuts. And then the thing is, he's the pitcher Clayton Kershaw. if you don't like him already, in his spare time, he and his wife, in the off season, they have an orphanage they run in Africa.
Oh my God.
Yeah. He goes to Africa. They like had this orphanage built, uh-huh. like a bunch of the money that he, because he made a huge contract, put a bunch of money into the orphanage, does like all these fundraisers, has like tournaments to raise money for the orphanage, mm-hmm. where he has like, he'll have like a ping pong tournament with all the Dodger players and get all these celebrities.
Yeah.
And he's just like a really genuinely like warm, nice human being.
Yeah.
So that on top of everything else and then being there, like I literally got choked up.
Aww.
When it happened, I literally was like, I didn't know what to do.
You're like, I have all these feelings and right now.
I have a video I posted, and if you watch the video, it's on Facebook. And if you watch it, like the closer he gets, the more my hands like actually start to shake.
Wow!
Because it was just like, oh, you could just feel it. And then if you watch the video, the second he lets the last pitch go, there's like a half a second where there's just dead silence, and then the catcher catches it. You know, he swings and misses, catching his, and it takes like half a second for everybody to go, holy shit, we just saw like a no hitter.
Yeah, yeah.
So it was really, really cool. I just wanted to tell that story and get it off my chest and say.
That's fine. Like, that's exciting.
Aside from the birth of my daughter, that's probably the most.
Oh my
God. Is that overstating a little bit? Is that.
Yeah, I think you're being a little dramatic.
Listen, no, it was. I you never thought you would see it. It's like getting a four leaf clover. Let me put it to you this way. It would be like if all of a sudden tomorrow, mm-hmm. if we go home right now, mm-hmm. and Netflix says, we're bringing back Firefly.
See, I don't even know what I would do.
Or like just tomorrow, Joss Whedon's like, guess what, guys? I've been working on this for a little while. It's a follow-up movie to Serenity. Here you go. Boom. Just drops it in theaters. Like,
oh my God.
Like, you weren't expecting it. You were not expecting it.
Pull a Beyonce and just drop an album out of nowhere. Yeah, like,
guess what? How did Beyonce do that?
Because she's Beyonce. She's the queen. Like,
While her sister is busy fighting her husband, she's dropping out.
Funny. That was after the whole album thing, but I thought that was really funny. I was like, who else but Beyonce to do that?
Yeah, I like how Beyonce just let him like take care of it. Take care of my light work.
I don't know how she does it. Like, people like that amaze me, where she had to keep that whole secret the whole time. And then the thing is, like, it wasn't just like an album that came out. It was mm-hmm. like a digital album, because every song came with the music video.
Did you see, have you listened to that album?
No, I did not enjoy it, honestly.
You didn't enjoy it?
No, it was a lot of the songs sounded the same. And then, like, her single that came out, that's all on the radio, when she repeats surfboard. And I'm like, what the hell is a surfboard? You know? I don't know. It just rubbed me the wrong way, that song. I was like, you know what?
There are certain things. Now, are you a Beyonce fan?
I am.
Okay.
Like, I will crank her stuff up, like, when I'm home alone and just dance my ass off and stuff. Yeah. Like, I love her, and she, like, her music gets me going and stuff like that. But this past album, I'm like,
you know what, though? Cool. For a surprise, for a nice surprise,
yeah.
For something nobody was expecting, mm-hmm. you can't get mad.
Yeah. But, like, where did she find time to do that?
What is a surfboard?
Where did she find time to do that? She, like, recorded an album, did all these music videos. She's appearing everywhere in, like, award shows.
She lives with Jay-Z, though. It's Jay-Z, though. So you think he's probably got, like, a nice, probably something similar to this.
Right?
I got a couple of microphones laying around the house, you know?
Whatever works.
Just Audacity. She cut the whole thing with Audacity. I'm like, it would be awesome if you found out she did that like on a really old, like a Windows XP machine.
I would be so impressed. I won't even lie. I will be so impressed with her.
Everything's plugged into the MIDI port, and she's just doing the, I don't know a lot. I like Beyonce. I like her. I like what she projects. I think she's gorgeous.
Oh yeah.
I think she's, and not in like a creepy, like, oh yeah, she's hot. Like, she's literally like a beautiful, like, wow.
Like that's a human being, like a beautiful human
that's
being.
That's a really beautiful person. Just like walking down the street, you'd be like, wow, I can't believe like that. Mm-hmm. And then she just seems like genuinely like a nice person.
Like, she has a really good heart and stuff. And I think that's why I'm more of a fan of her too, you know, because mm-hmm. you can tell like she's just a good person, and she has a lot of really good messages, and she doesn't like, she took the fame thing really well. You know what I mean?
A lot of people do.
Yeah, like she does charity stuff and she's really genuine. And like the thing is that like that I love about her is that she's actually really super talented. Mm-hmm. There's nothing fake about her. Like when she's dancing and singing live, it's amazing.
Do you feel bad for the rest of Destiny's Child though?
You know, they did their own thing. Everyone has their place and their own path and stuff. And I think what Kelly, she really went down like the R&B sort of thing. And then Michelle was doing gospel stuff and that's fine.
Give me who else in today's music, who else do you like? What's something that a Julie Kang listens to?
Sam Smith. Have you heard Sam Smith?
No, let's talk about it.
Oh my God. You need to listen to Sam Smith. He's newish. Is he British? I think he might
probably be
British.
But everybody's British.
Yeah, he's openly gay, so I really admire that. And then he even, in one of his love songs, he doesn't even try to like say a she. Like he says he, like in a love song. Like,
oh, see, that's going to make me uncomfortable.
Really?
Oh, yeah. I'm
so- Oh, my God. I was really upset for a second. I was like, Mario. Oh, my God. Really? How are we friends?
Yeah, I'm not racist, but I'm super anti. No, I'm just kidding.
But no, like, I admire that about him, that he's, like, open, and he is so talented. His voice, it's kind of like when I first heard Adele. Like, when I first listened to Adele's album all the way through, I listened to his
There's
album
There's someone
all
who's
through.
Got a weird speech thing going on sometimes. Surfbort.
I was like, what is a fucking surfboard? God. I'm shedding. But no, he, I don't know, his voice, it breaks me. Like, I listened to his old album, and I thought the same thing as when I heard Adele's album for the first time. I was like, who hurt you?
Yeah.
You know, I was like, who hurt you? And he...
Who hurt you? Like,
what did you go through to say these things? And his words are beautiful, and he, you know, articulates feelings so gorgeously, and his voice is out of this world. Like, he goes into his falsetto with such ease, and I'm like, ugh. You and he sings with such passion and like I love him so much.
All right,
he's amazing.
I'm gonna check it out.
Yeah,
I'm gonna in spite of my prejudices. I'm gonna check this kid out just because you seem so passionate about.
No, he's really good. And I think another thing is that because so You Think You Can Dance is now back because it's summer. And it's like my favorite show to watch in the summer because I used to dance and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And then every time I watch it, I cry on the inside because I don't dance anymore and I should. But like a lot of the dancers are using his songs because they're very like – he does a lot of like acoustic sort of things and they're gorgeous.
What kind of dancing did you do, Julie?
Well, in – I started out doing wushu, which is martial arts.
Oh, that is – that's a
it's
form of kung fu.
Yeah, it's very pretty. It's not so much for combat. It's more for show. When I did martial arts – everyone, whenever I performed or did competitions, you'd be like, oh, she used to be a dancer. And I'd never danced before. And so in high school, instead of taking PE, because I hate sports, I did dance instead. And so that was like jazz, lyrical kind of stuff.
Yeah.
So I did that all through high school. And then partway through high school, I started taking ballroom dance and completely fell in love with that. Like, I miss it so much.
Why don't you do it anymore?
Well, classes can be...
Expensive,
and it's hard. I had a really good teacher at one time, but he moved to a different studio, and he's doing his own thing and stuff, so I don't, like, I don't know where he is anymore kind of thing. And
that's a bummer.
Yeah, like, he's the one that really got me started.
If only there were some way we could search a database of dance instructors.
I think he's in, like, Arcadia or something, I don't know.
If only there were some vehicle that could convey you.
Shut up. It's also like me, like mentally, like, I don't know if I'm getting enough.
Were you having fun?
I was having so much fun.
Julie, then get out there and do it.
Okay, fine.
All right. Well, listen, guys, I want you guys all to bombard Facebook with requests for Julie to come back into the dance world. You know what? My wife loves that show.
It's like my favorite show.
So You Think You Can Dance? Between her and my mom always calls me and says, did you watch Dancing with the Stars last night? I said, Mom, I don't watch that show. Oh, you missed it. But my wife likes to watch So You Think You Can Dance. Okay. Any show that there's a competition, where there's a competitive element, my wife's on board.
Nice.
But especially So You Think You Can Dance.
I love it. It's so good. And it's well laid out.
I will be the first to admit, I'm doing air quotes, I don't always get certain dances, but I, you know, you can see when someone's, you can obviously from just the point of view of the athleticism or the skill it would take to someone. And I know how dorky I was taking swing lessons. So when anybody did something, I'm like, wow, that I have to, my hat's off to you. Yeah. Now, can I sit and watch a 2-hour show? That's, you know, I have a hard time watching, you know, sitting and watching two hours of anything that isn't sports or Star Wars.
Right. Yeah. Fair enough.
Or Big Trouble in Little China.
That's fair.
I just revisited the John Carpenter, 1980s John Carpenter, Kurt Russell trilogy. Are you familiar with any of those movies?
Nope.
The Thing? Nope. Did you ever see the original Thing?
Nope.
Escape from New York?
Nope.
Big Trouble in Little China?
Nope.
You need to watch.
So disappointed.
No,
right,
I'm not. No, I'm not. It's because it's the 80s and they were low budget. They weren't huge. I think you would love The Thing. It's a remake of a 1950s movie called The Thing from Another World.
I've heard this before, actually.
And it's really, really cool. It's some really cool special effects. But the best, and I don't even say guilty pleasure because it's awesome. It just did not do well because they didn't know how to market it. But Big Trouble in Little China is basically a cross between a kung fu movie and an Indiana Jones movie.
What?
With Kurt Russell basically, doing a really awesomely bad John Wayne impersonation the whole time. Do you want me to give you the? I'll give you a brief synopsis.
It sounds absurd, but I also that I need to watch.
Okay,
it,
so
know?
It takes place in the '80s. It takes place in modern time. Oh, and by the way, bonus Kim Cattrall's in it. So there you go. There you go. Free Sex in the City. Kurt Russell's a truck driver. He's driving to. He makes a delivery to San Francisco Chinatown. He makes a bet with a guy, a friend of his named Wang, who Wang loses the bet and then because Kurt Russell doesn't trust Wang to pay the bet back, he says, all right, I got to go to the airport and then I'm going to come get your money. And Kurt Russell's like, nope, I will drive you to the airport. Turns out Wang is going to pick up his wife who has just arrived from China. He's been saving his whole life to bring her to China. Mao Yin is her name, and she has green eyes, which figure heavily into the plot. Ooh. Mao Yin is then kidnapped by the Lords of Death, a street gang from Chinatown.
Oh my God.
They pursue the Lords of Death to Chinatown, where a fight breaks out between the Wing Kong and I forgot the other one, who are basically like their variations on actual gangs that went back, you know, to
like the triads kind of
thing.
Yeah.
Well, while they're fighting, three storms, lightning, wind, and rain, appear.
Oh, my God.
Servants of the evil Lo Pan, evil demon Lo Pan. And they take the girl away. So now Kurt Russell has to help his buddy get her back from the demon Lo Pan.
Of course he does.
It is awesomely.
It sounds amazing.
I believe. Are you an Amazon Prime user?
I'm not.
Are you a Netflix user?
Yeah. Are you kidding me?
I'll check and see if it's on Netflix. But if you have never checked it out, my brother and I saw it, and I remember being advertised. My brother and I saw it. It was like a double feature in the 80s, which at that time meant that it was just two movies that were just not, had done no business, and we're going to stick them on the same, you know. And my brother and I just ended up loving it. And when I worked at the video store in high school, we would just watch that movie over and over and over. It is on Google Play you can watch it for $2.99. But
if it's on Netflix, I will definitely watch it. Because I Netflix all the time. Like, the only reason why I'm not in a relationship with Netflix is because Facebook doesn't let me put it as that. So, you know.
Is that true?
One day. Netflix.
What do you like to... We're gonna come back. We don't have a... That was a nice little icebreaker. We're going to take a quick break. And we come back, I want to talk about the summer so far as movies.
Movies and TV shows.
And I know we're gonna hit some Game of Thrones talk.
Yeah.
But I also want to get... I want to talk about Netflix right now, the state of Netflix and what's going on and some things that I think are great out there. And I think Netflix, for whatever reason, gets a really crappy rap.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't think it should. I think it's people being lazy and not wanting to find something good to watch.
Yeah.
There's plenty of good stuff on there.
There's a ton of good stuff.
They're right. We'll talk about it when we come right back after this break. I was ramping up to a really smooth transition. And
it just did not happen.
So funny. You're a jackass. All right. Do you want to do it? Do you want to take us into the break?
Is it?
See? It's not so easy.
What am I doing?
You're taking us into the break. You're going to say, we'll be right back after the break.
Okay. And we'll be right back after the break.
That was terrible. And we're back. What were you looking at?
I don't know. You were looking out there. So I was like, why are you looking at?
No, I was looking at the people, making sure they weren't coming back.
Oh.
It's a nice store. You can't stop looking out there.
Oh, it's so pretty. It's in like a nice area.
Julie, you just told me, Uptown. Did you ever come over here? Have you ever been Uptown Whittier?
Mm-mm.
Oh, it's great.
I don't make it out to Whittier like ever.
No one ever does. It's because there's no freeway. There's no freeway. But that's kind of nice thing about living here. Well, I moved, but the nice thing about living here is like I always tell people we grow our own riffraff. So you know, like, it's always in the same area, so you just know, okay, I don't go down the street after this time of day and that kind of stuff. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
We don't get it imported.
Yes.
You know what I mean?
Yeah, that makes sense.
You know? Mm-hmm. So, but, you know, it's like, yeah, okay, I don't go down the street. But, yeah, I love it up here. That's really, really cool.
Mm-hmm.
And it's a nice little shop. It's really, really great and great looking. There's a lot of good games and cool stuff here. So mm-hmm. come check it out. And they do the podcast. I'm telling you guys, if you want to start a podcast, you have no excuse now. The facilities are great, and it's a lot of fun. So come on down to Undercity 2. So before the break, guys, which is what I'm referring to a single person as now. I don't know why I called you guys. Before the break, Julie, we started talking. In the break, I mentioned to Julie that she looks fantastic. She has a glow about her.
Well, thank you.
She looks great. She looks very, very happy and just you're always like adorable, but this
Thank
is like
you.
You had you seriously and you chalked it up to you're doing meditation. Do you want to give your family has a meditation center and do you want to give it a plug or no?
Well, I mean, it's not really my family's. It's an organization called Bodhi Meditation, and
But your family is like
they're super involved. They're super involved, and technically, like I started doing it years and years ago, like when I was 16, 17.
Mm-hmm.
But because I'm at the age that I am, it's not really my priority, so I never really got into it until recently. Like, it's run by like Chinese people, like people, a lot of people like fresh from China kind of thing, because it's huge in Asia.
Mm-hmm.
And so they want to bring it to the U.S. because a lot of people here are interested in using like holistic methods, mm-hmm. like not taking prescription medicines to make their bodies better and all that stuff. And like, I truly believe that, you know, the mind is the most powerful thing. And so once you control your thoughts and everything, you control your
body. Star Wars taught us that, buddy.
Yeah, it totally connects. It's a real thing. Like, you can make sci-fi, you can make it happen to yourself. Mm-hmm. So yeah, I've been doing it because I've been working for them and stuff. And so I've been practicing myself, and I think that might be helping me.
Yeah.
Like a lot of like self-realization things that I'm going through and just feeling better physically,
you
know, because I've always had, you know, health problems here and there, but recently I feel like they're finally maybe kind of dissipating.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah, I feel good. Like, I can get up in the morning and not feel like I want to kill myself. Like, I don't need as much sleep as I used to. I feel wide awake most of the time, except like a lot of times, like, when you do meditation, we always say, like, the energy that's flowing through you, it will, whatever your body needs, it will do.
Mm-hmm.
So a lot of people that need to lose weight, they'll spontaneously start fasting, like stuff like that. For me, when I meditate, I knock out. Like, I can't control it. Like, I will try as hard as I can to sit and to listen and stuff. But as soon as the guided meditation starts and you start receiving the energy and controlling your thoughts, I knock out like almost immediately.
Mm-hmm.
And another thing is like, I cannot stop eating when I do meditation. And so I don't know if it's my body adjusting my metabolism rate or whatever, but
there's
whatever,
a fat like, kid in there that wants to get out.
I guess so. Like, I'm Run welcome
it,
to it.
Run
you know?
With it, Julie. It's awesome.
It can come out all at once, because like when that process starts happening for me, I start losing weight. It is the weirdest phenomenon. Like,
you need to eat more. Maybe it's that you're eating food that you actually need, or you're craving things that you maybe, instead of eating a candy bar, now you're eating something that's good for you or something like that. So
no, that 100% makes sense.
You know, it's funny because in this country because I think people, especially when it comes to stuff like meditation and yoga, they want to immediately just reject it out of hand because it doesn't go with whatever, you know, whatever ideology they happen to hold.
Yeah.
And I feel like I feel like I don't think it's an assault on your faith or anything if you decide I want to do meditation or I want to do yoga.
Yeah, we say that all the time.
And I think a lot of people really do take it that way. Mm-hmm. You know, if you said, okay, there's a difference between wanting to do meditation and just saying, look, here's a picture of Jerry Lewis, and now you're going to worship this picture of Jerry Lewis. You are, Jerry Lewis is now going to dictate what you do with your life. Yep. There's a difference between that and being, you know, so.
Yeah.
I think, I don't know, I just think that people get squeamish about stuff like that, and I think you just need to be.
And honestly, like, I don't blame them. If you come to the meditation center, there's Buddhas everywhere. Like, there's a giant Buddha in the front, there's Buddha little, their medicine Buddha. I don't want to say worship, but that's, we take the Dharma, as we say, like the lessons from the medicine Buddha and stuff like that. But yeah, I wouldn't blame them. You come in and there's like candles lit and people are praying because they're like, it's based in Buddhism and there's different levels of Buddhism as there is with any religion.
Yeah, yeah.
So there are people that worship it like a deity.
Mm-hmm.
But at the core of it, it's about, you know, controlling your thoughts, receiving energy from the universe kind of thing. And like, you know, figuring your own stuff out for the better.
Yeah. So far you're promoting the homosexual lifestyle on the show, and you're coming in and promoting Buddha. I don't know if you know, you are putting a real crimp in my plans to become the next Rush Limbaugh.
Oh, so man.
I don't know.
You know what? Good riddance.
No, but you do. You seriously, like, I always tell people, like, you know, my friend Priscilla, who's been on the show, started doing yoga, and she got really into it. And she she looks like a complete, she was always like, she wasn't very, you know, she wasn't enormous or anything, but you can just tell she's toned like crazy and does. And so it's worked for her. And she, you know, if it was working for you and there's benefits to it, I think you should be able to take what you need from it. And then, you know, it doesn't necessarily have to be, you know, but you know, there's a lot of that going on. And it really kind of bothers me because there's a lot of like, it has to be this way. And you know what I mean? And it's like, no. You know, I don't know. I get really, I get bummed out with people.
Change is the only constant in life. And once you accept that and are open to it, your life's going to be a lot better.
Change comes from within.
It does. Start with yourself.
That's what I ask people when they hit me up for change.
Like, something that I've realized lately, like a lot, is like, you can't wait for other people to change. The happiest people are the people that only try to change themselves.
That's true. Yeah. That is very true.
So,
you know, there's a lot of great advice out there on the internet. You just have to sift through a lot of puppy kitten things and clips like what happened next will amaze you. But every once in a while,
I hate those. Don't I have such a problem with those. All the hook lines
or,
and stuff. I'm like, no.
I follow,
tell me what happened. I'll still be interested.
I follow a lot of political blogs and stuff, and I get a lot of RSS feeds and stuff like that. Or I love that when they, you know, I'll like them on Facebook, and it's always like, I love it because both sides do it, the conservatives and the liberals.
Yeah.
And it's always like, so-and-so destroys so-and-so on Benghazi. It's like, and then it's like, oh yeah, Benghazi was terrible. It's like, wow, that was it? Like, that's the whole absolutely floored. It's like,
they need their view counts, man. Like,
yeah, I know.
That's how it works these days.
They need a thesaurus. They need to understand what these words mean.
Yeah.
But you know, it's Facebook is a funny place like that, and I get why people don't necessarily want their Facebook feed filled with like stuff about politics and stuff like that.
Mm-hmm.
And then I understand why people want their Facebook feed. I see both sides, you know. And my only thing is just be, if you're going to have a point of view, be ready to defend it and not get mad when somebody comes to you and says, well, what about this and what about that? I mean, yes, people are going to troll you. You have to be ready for that. If you post anything on the Facebook, people are going to troll you.
Yeah.
And what's funny is being a sports fan, you really get good at that kind of thing because you got to know when people are really saying something and someone's just being a troll.
Right. Yeah.
And so you see that a lot, but I see that on, you know, people, someone will post something that I agree with that's completely, you know, with my line of, you know, of politics or whatever. And then they'll get mad because someone will call them on it or someone will say, and it's like, well, you posted that.
Yeah.
Be ready to defend yourself.
Yeah. You posted it. You have what, 300 friends on here. There's going to be someone that doesn't agree with you. That's the world.
And that's fine. We all need to be able to do that. And
And as long as you can have like a logical sort of like controlled discussion about it, that's fine. But when it turns into like, well, you're stupid. You don't know. You're ignorant. Like, well, you don't know that.
And I mean,
sometimes some people post things and I'm like, that is,
But I find that what I try to do is I'll try to lay out something, and this is why I'm arguing the way I'm arguing. Mm-hmm. And it's not necessarily to change the other person's mind, but it's just to say, here's my line of thinking, mm-hmm. and you know, you do with it what you will, but this is why I'm,
yeah,
you know, and but yeah, so many people just want to get into, or they're really looking to get butthurt about stuff.
Yeah, there are just some people that want to pick a fight anyways, and you can't really.
The internet's great for that.
It's
the internet's basically like being in one giant high school class all over again.
A little bit.
It really is because you get the troublemakers and you get the jocks and you get the, it really, if you think about it, you get the nerdy kids and you get the nerdy kids, of course. It's like a weird alternate school where the nerdy kids are run the school
nerdy
somehow.
Nerdy kids are on Tumblr.
I am on Tumblr. Do you have a Tumblr?
I love Tumblr.
Have we talked about it on the show? Where can we find you on Tumblr?
Haha-IMJK. Like,
oh, really?
Yeah, haha-IMJK, like the letters.
While we're on the topic, we're about to get to Netflix, but you restarted your YouTube channel.
I did. Let's I haven't done it in like 2 weeks, though, because I've been working.
It's okay.
It hurts my soul. I have a recipe that, like, I can't do a video because I already did.
Well, tell everybody, because some people listen all the time. Some people are, you know. Mm-hmm. So give us the background on what your channel is, because it's awesome.
Thank you. It's called Julie Bites, B-Y-T-E-S, because it's like a cooking – no, not a cooking. It's a baking channel, and basically I have a series called Short and Sweet, where I combine like from scratch recipes with things that are pre-made. So it's just easier for people to make really, really good things that kind of seem like they're from scratch. Like the very first episode that I did was Death by Oreo cupcakes.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And so part of the recipe was a devil's food cake mix. And I think that's fine. As long as you don't play it off like, oh, I made it all from scratch.
Yeah. Yeah.
No, it's for people that like are in a rush or are afraid of baking. Like I'm trying to show them that it's not that hard and you can have a lot of fun with it and still make really good stuff.
And you're funny on your videos. You're very personal, very funny.
Thank you.
Do you shoot the whole thing yourself?
Yeah.
So you're by yourself.
Yeah, that's why there's no other like different angles and stuff, is because this is just, I just set up a tripod with the camera in my kitchen and I just talk to it by myself.
Hey, is anyone home when you do this?
Sometimes, but I make them like, I'm just like, hey, I'm filming something, so like, don't make noise. But that's it, you know, like I did one with a friend, my friend Tony, who is actually a cook. And that was fun because like he actually like is into food and all that stuff, but he doesn't bake that much. So that was fun to bring him into it. And I hope I can find some time in the future to do more things mm-hmm. like that. Cause I have a friend named Taylor. She runs a blog. It's not even a cooking blog or anything. She runs a blog called, Novels and Nail Polish, or Nail Polish and Novels, something along those lines. And so
you did it right. You're giving her a free plug. You better figure it out.
Something's go find it. I think it's,
keep going. I'll keep talking. I'll look it up.
I don't know. But yeah, she runs a blog and an Instagram, and basically she is really into nail polish and she loves reading. Like she is constantly reading. So she does book reviews, and along with the books that she's reading, she'll do themed nail polish stuff. Uh-huh. And I think that's adorable, and it's
awesome.
That's
really cool. Yeah.
Yeah. So I want to do something with her too, because I know she loves cupcakes and baked goods. So that'd be fun to do something with her. So yeah, I'm hoping to do more collaboration stuff, because that's what the internet's about.
Yeah.
You know, like other than trolling and social justice rants, it's also collaboration and like getting your friends into doing
things. Yeah. And don't forget porn.
And porn. Cats.
Is it novelsandnailpolish.blogspot.com?
That should maybe.
Novels and Nail Polish on Pinterest?
Probably. I think she has like a .com now too.
Okay, so if you go to Pinterest, it's www.pinterest.com/NNPblog. Is it Rose's Romance Ramblings?
No.
Is it...
She should have it. I wish my phone was on right now. I can turn
it on. Wait, hold on.
Taylor, I'm plugging you.
That did not come out right. I'm looking at
it. I
didn't
mean for it to.
We're unable to access the network from here.
Lame.
I know.
We're in a box of no-no.
We're in a
This place was so great up until this
moment.
Yeah,
you're like, God dang it.
The one thing I need.
The one thing I need.
My phone doesn't want to turn on. So
that is a huge phone.
It's gigantic. It is the Galaxy Note 3.
Do you love it?
I love it. I hate the charger right now, but I love the phone.
Oh, wait. No, that's not it.
It should be novelsandnailpolish.com. I think. I don't know.
Hold on. This is really good radio. Tell us about that cover for your Galaxy
It's a TARDIS.
My name is Taylor, and yes, I am a bookaholic.
There we go. That's her.
Yeah, novelsandnailpolish.blogspot.com.
Gotcha. I thought she had a .com, but maybe not.
Yeah.
Yeah, this is my phone case.
It's a TARDIS.
Yeah, it's a TARDIS. It's a wallet phone case, so it's got all my stuff in it, and so like
it's really cool. It's huge. It looks like the TARDIS.
I love it.
I think I have a picture of that. Someone took a picture of that, and it was my wallpaper for a while.
Oh, really?
Mm-hmm.
It's like the old school, like worn out TARDIS. This is TEN's TARDIS, right? That's the one that's all broken up. Yeah.
Because it had been through the war.
Mm-hmm.
Nine and ten.
Yeah. But I think TEN's at one point was like super like worn out looking and like vintagey.
We are super nerdy.
Because all the different TARDISes, they have like different blues.
TARDIS?
Yeah. All the different TARDIS. That makes it sound really bad.
Yeah. Or it's like a shirt that a hippie would wear. A TARDIS.
A TARDIS shirt.
Now I'm trying to get this booted up here and I want to. We're in a brick building, which is not over. There's literally a brick wall behind me. So what I want you to do, Julie, mm-hmm. is I want you to drink this in. Okay, I'm going to wait like 10 seconds here.
Okay.
I want you to watch this, but will you do me a favor? My phone mic is right here.
Okay.
This phone speaker. I want you to watch this holding it up to
the
mic.
Okay, what's happening?
And
I don't know what's happening. What are you watching?
Let's wait a minute.
Okay.
Because this is going to ramp us into our next topic, which is so you went on hiatus on Julie Bites for a little while.
Yeah. I just didn't have time or money or motivation.
But because you kind of went through a period there where you were just like, you told me, and you know, you can have me end this. But you said, you know, I'm just not feeling like doing a lot right now. Like,
It was weird. I had a weird period of just being lost mentally, you know, just like, where am I going? And it was a lot of like hopeless things because I have a lot of like hopes and dreams and aspirations and things like that. But I had a moment, a very short moment where I was like, I don't think I can do any of that.
You know,
like everyone goes through those cycles. You just kind of have to.
You just have to remember you're 24 years old.
Yeah, I know. People tell me all the time, no, but you're young.
And
what are
I'm
you
not saying that. I'm
about?
Not saying that to disrespect you. I'm not like trying to be like, oh, you're a kid. You don't know.
Yeah.
But yeah, you do have time.
Yeah.
As the Rolling Stones said, I don't want to be no beast of burden. No, that's not what they said. They said, time is on my side.
Yeah.
And they were really talking about you. Okay, this guy that just walked into the store.
Okay.
Looks exactly like Bruce Campbell from Far Away. You know what I'm talking about?
Yes.
Yeah, watch when he walks by. He's over on that wall. I'll point him out to you.
I was like, well, not this guy right now that's closest to me.
Because
he looks nothing like Bruce Campbell.
Okay, now it's not doing it.
Okay.
God dang it. This
plan
is all for naught. Oh, here we go. Here we go. Ready? So just hit
Oh,
the
God, ring. You're so far.
Did you say I'm so fat?
No, I said you're so far.
Is it playing? Is it doing anything?
It's loading. The little circle thing is going.
Damn it.
This is Jack Burton in the Pork Chop Express, and I'm talking to whoever's listening out there.
Oh.
Did it stop?
Yep.
Oh, let's wait till it's loaded. I was going to give you the preview for Big Trouble in Little China.
Oh. I could just look it up and then get home.
We need to watch this live.
Oh, God, I'm sorry.
All right, so Let's talk about Netflix for a minute.
Oh, God, Netflix. Why?
Are you watching Orange is the New Black?
I finished it in like two nights.
My wife watched the first season, and then she was halfway through the first season, and then my mother-in-law came to stay with us while they were selling the house.
Mm-hmm.
So then she got my mother-in-law into it. So they were up. I'd come home from work, and they'd be up late watching.
Yeah. It's very binge watchable.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Do you like it?
The stuff I watched, I really thought was hilarious.
Yeah.
I thought it was really funny and really mm-hmm. good. It was just, I felt like I got enough of the show that I didn't need to be like, oh, you know what
okay.
I mean? Like, I don't need to go watch them.
No, that's fair.
I get the,
yeah.
So, I haven't seen any of season two yet. I know that my wife and my mother-in-law were watching a bunch mm-hmm. of it the other day.
Yeah.
But that's so genius of Netflix just to go like, you guys watch the shows like this anyway.
Yeah.
Here it is.
The whole thing.
All at once.
Yeah. I love that. And also because I am a binge watcher. Like, I will... Well, unless it's stuff like Game of Thrones, where I know there's going to be spoilers. Oh, my God. You're so right.
Mm-hmm.
You look just like
mm-hmm.
me. It's crazy.
Yeah. Game of Thrones.
I'm distracted because... Yeah.
There's a gentleman that looks like Bruce Campbell right outside our window.
And we're staring at him like creeps.
Yeah.
He's like well-dressed too.
That'd be awesome. A well-dressed Bruce Campbell. It's Ash. You think if I just called him Ash, he'd be like, what?
Probably.
Come over here.
Unless he's heard it before.
He has. You don't think he's... Oh!
Ugh!
The solution to my problem was here the whole time.
What?
It's like the ruby slippers.
What is that?
To MiFi.
What's a MiFi?
It's a little internet... it's a little router. Wireless router.
Whoa! The future is now.
Thank you. Thank you, George Orwell. So, you, give me, like, do you... I got stuck in time warp. What other shows have you just like? Basically, I discovered Doctor Who because I through.
Oh, I was
Netflix.
Like
Netflix. Yeah, that's
just I'm, recently. I'm, I was I'm like
making
that, no.
I'm making that claim. Yeah, I discovered Doctor Who.
You found it. You unearthed it from the ground.
It was nothing, and then I came along, and then boom, Doctor Who. Yeah, there's a lot I will binge watch, but I've kind of gotten over I've gotten over doing that just because I don't have time right now to sit and watch like 90 episodes of something.
No, see, what I do is I take away time from sleeping and then I binge watch. So I'll get like 3 or 4 hours of sleep instead. But that was only for a couple nights. I got Orange is the New Black done in 2 nights.
Oh my gosh.
I had to, you know, it's all there and it's all new. So why wouldn't I do that?
What do you like about the Orange is the New Black?
I think it's super witty. You get really attached to the characters. They tell you there's a lot of character development. You get to know them. I love that about shows and movies and books is like when you really get to know a character and like why they think the way they do and that kind of stuff. And so we got a lot of origin story things from the characters this time around, and I enjoy that. And also, Piper was really getting on my nerves. And for part of the series, you get a little bit of a break from her, and you get to know the other characters. And I was like, oh, thank God.
Yeah.
You know, and how you felt about other characters before change, and I like how it progresses and stuff. And like the season finale, the cliffhanger is amazing, and I love how they ended it. So
I'm gonna have to sit and watch it because I enjoy watching, as much as I enjoy binge watching, stuff with my wife. I like, we get into stuff. Like, we got into Arrow for a little while.
Oh. And then,
right? Oh. Why aren't more people watching that show?
I know. They're doing superhero stuff so right.
I know. And for everything that DC can't do on the big screen, they do well with, somehow their animated movies are always awesome.
Yeah.
And the Arrow, everything is great about
it. And Flash looks like it's going to be amazing. Have you seen the extended trailer for Flash? Oh, my.
Let me tell you what happened with Arrow. We got up to the Christmas break. We got up to the mid-season break.
Oh, God, that break killed me.
And then never picked it back up.
What?
We got other stuff came along.
Okay.
All this other stuff. So now we got to a point, and then I was like, oh, we're recording all of these. My DVR wasn't saving them.
Oh, no.
So I went back to try to watch, and I was like, it was like previously on Arrow, and it was all these scenes that I was like, wait, who's that guy? I don't know who this is. Deleted like 5 episodes. So,
oh my God.
And then Hulu didn't have them. Like I couldn't go back, and I'm not savvy enough to start going on the torrent site and stuff.
Right. Yeah.
So I'm just like, I'll just wait till it comes out on Netflix. But honestly, guys, if you want to watch the first season, you can binge watch it. It's on Netflix.
Yeah.
You know what's funny? Whenever I tell people about it, they go, oh, that's a show on the CW, right?
I had the same reaction, too.
And everybody wants to watch it, but they're afraid. I will tell you, and I say this about the first season, the 75% of each episode that isn't a little CW teen drama. Mm-hmm.
They have moments.
Like they do, but it slowly dissipates over the course. By the end of the first season, most of that stuff is gone.
Thank God.
Except for the... the story with, you know, the Speedy storyline is always a little, you know, teen drama-y. But, you know, the way they handled everything with the love triangle could have been terrible.
It could have been so dramatic and so girly and overly emotional. And
it wasn't.
It wasn't.
And it was very honest and emotional. Mm-hmm. And it really gave the character something to kind of build off of.
Yeah.
You know, and it really gave the main character. And, you know, there are certain things that are really cheesy. Like Nicole and I just bust up every time we see the wig in his flashbacks where he's got that little, like that little.
When he's on the island.
Yeah, he's got that like awful. That preppy haircut. Oh, like God. It's the worst wig.
It's so awful. So still. I like the flashbacks.
I always tell people, like, in the 60s, they could make Shatner look like he had a full head of hair. How in the 50 years later do they not have, like, the technology to not make that look like a wig?
Wig making is going downhill, guys.
I don't know what it is.
Someone's got to pick it back up.
Somebody out there better start breeding some horses for their hair because we're in a crisis. Yeah, I love that show, and I love that it's a great show to binge watch. The character, like you said, it's a rotating. If you like DC Comics, and here's a great thing about Arrow: if you don't know anything about comics,
you'll still like it.
My in-laws love that show. They had no idea it was based on a comic. No idea whatsoever. Nice. They're just like, oh, we thought it was like a Robin Hood kind of thing. It's like,
I mean,
it is.
Yeah.
But they just thought it was like a retelling of Robin Hood. I'm like, no, these are all DC characters. They're like, really?
Oh, interesting. I like
that. And I was like, so I was breaking it down for them. They're like, oh, we didn't know that. Yeah. And I was like, yeah, there's like, you know, so.
I mean, that's kind of cool. It's like a fresh outlook. They won't expect characters. Because there have been times when I'm like, oh, this character is going to be popping up and stuff like
that. Yeah, yeah. So, you kind of know.
Yeah. You're like, oh, no, this is coming. But for them, like, they have no idea.
What character? Some Black Canary just turned up in something else that we watch. She's turned up in a movie.
She did?
Yeah. You know, she has the weird mouth when she's not when she's not Black Canary. She's kind of got that weird. My wife always. You know what I'm talking
about? The pouty mouth?
Yeah, okay. She's got
Sorry, I just did it. Or she talks like this. Like she talks with her lips out sometimes and it really bothers
Yeah,
me.
Yeah. Nicole doesn't like it when she's not in the mask.
Ugh, I'm like, of all the actresses they could have picked. Like, I like the character. I don't like the actress
because
they picked for it.
I will tell you, the girl, I can't think of her name. The main girl, Laurel. Yeah. Beautiful.
Yeah.
Beautiful.
But she does a weird mouth thing too. Maybe it's like they wanted to make it a family thing.
I feel like she's kind of like she's a good actress though. I feel like you could have got.
She's not bad.
Because I watched. Yeah. But here's what I'm comparing her to, because that was going to come with a caveat. The person I'm comparing to is a girl from Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. who is not good. But
the nerdy one? Gemma?
No. The
Oh, Sky?
Yeah, the hacker girl.
Oh, I like her.
She's just not.
She has moments where she bothers. Did you finish the season,
well,
by the way?
Here's the thing. I stopped watching it like halfway through. Yeah.
It gets so good.
When it ties into Captain America.
Yeah, like that episode, the episode after Captain America came out, Winter Soldier, it just, it took off.
Like, yeah.
Crazy.
I was like, why wasn't this the whole show? And I feel bad now because in passing, I think they knew they had to, you know, they knew what they were going to do. They had this architecture set up and they had to get to the point where, okay, we got to get to the point where the Captain America movie comes out.
Yeah.
And so, The feeling I had about the show originally was, man, a lot of these shows just aren't, they're kind of doing Monster of the Week stuff and it's really not that interesting and it's not that, it's all been done before.
That's fair.
And, but once they handled, I did go back and watch the episode after Captain America. That's when it was like, oh, okay. But, and there's a huge plot twist that I don't want to give away, but it basically makes someone interesting who was not necessarily an interesting character before.
Yeah.
And you're like, thank God, because that guy's not a good actor either.
Yeah. Well, yeah, but I mean, so you haven't finished watching. Oh, I feel like the season finale itself makes up for all of those quote boring episodes where nothing happened because so much happens and you get to see like all of the characters get their own highlighted moments and stuff and it leads
into very Joss Whedon.
So much more stuff and I'm so excited and I think like some of it might even tie into Guardians of the Galaxy.
Oh, I've heard about that.
I feel like it might.
Well, I've heard the rumor is that the Guardians of the Galaxy is going to, they are going to appear in the Avengers 3.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, there's going to be a huge, you look at your face. All right. Oh, I want to show you this trailer right now. So you can hold it up to the thing. It should be going. We have the Wi-Fi.
Chop Express, and I'm talking to whoever's listening out there. It's a pretty amazing planet we live on here, and a man would have to be some kind of fool to think we're all alone in this universe.
Oh, Jesus.
There is a hidden world.
Oh my God.
Evil weaves a modern mystery.
Oh my God.
What's going on here? Is
oh God, her hair.
Magic? The darkest magic.
Oh God. Oh, it looks so cheesy. It's a cheesy martial arts movie.
Finally, we shall bring order out of chaos.
trouble was waiting for Jack Burton.
Jack Burton.
What is he? Where's lipstick?
Jack!
They told him to go to hell. You make one move. And that's just where he's going.
Oh my god, this is amazing!
I don't care who tell me what is going on.
Oh, it looks so cheesy and awful. Oh, what is the spinning thing on the hands? Did he just break a gun with his bare hands? Of course, there's going to be a stereotypical, very, very old Asian man.
Yeah.
With the Confucius whiskers.
Of course.
Ancient weapons that nobody uses anymore. Yeah. The sound effects.
I was born ready. My brother says that.
Oh no, it stopped.
Come on.
Oh.
Come on, Jack Burton.
Pew pew pew.
Are you ready to watch that movie now? Aren't you?
I'm so ready. Are you kidding me?
It is great.
Oh, this is my jam. I love movies like this.
And you know what the thing is? They purposely, and the thing about the movie is they did it with a wink. It wasn't meant to be like a serious, and they did it well. They did a really good job. But my brother, two things. There's two lines that my brother pulls away from that. One is always, "I was born ready." That's one of them. And there's another where they almost run him down in a car,
mm-hmm.
and he stands up and he says, "Son of a bitch must pay." And my brother says that all the time.
Can I just imagine like how he says it? Just like so cheesy,
so
overly dramatic, like all butch and stuff.
And it's really great because Kurt Russell, and there's a scene in there where he has to go undercover.
Mm-hmm.
And he plays like this really nerdy character, and he's just really nerdy, and it's really funny. And you're like, man, Kurt Russell is so. Because at first I used to think, man, he's not good, and then I'm like, it, you know, got me later, and I was like, well, he's doing it on purpose.
Yeah,
because
yeah,
I've seen him in a million other movies where he's really awesome.
Yeah, I mean, I love movies like that where they're very self aware. Like, what was it, Man with the Iron Fists?
Oh yeah, yeah, I didn't see it. Was it good?
I liked it because I grew up watching a lot of martial arts movies, mm-hmm. and it was obviously trying to. Not really make fun of it, but pay like homage to
it.
So it wasn't supposed to be super serious. You're just supposed to go and have fun.
Yeah.
And it was ridiculous and physics don't make sense.
Yeah.
You know, and it was just funny because we were walking out of the theater and then I was remembering some of the reviews that I read about it, and people were just like, oh, it's like, it's nothing about this is real kind of thing. Like there's,
it's not supposed blah, blah, blah.
And I was like, there's not, have you seen like old Kung Fu movies?
Have you ever seen Warriors of the Magic Mountain ever?
They're so
it's
ridiculous.
A real movie. Yeah.
Like ridiculous, like, you know, flying through the tops of the trees.
Yeah.
Like you can see the wires kind of thing.
You've
like,
never seen Crouching Tiger, man. Come on.
Yeah. Well,
yeah.
Crouching Tiger, I think is actually amazing.
I love that movie, but it was basically taking that style of movie and making it an art form, like
mm-hmm.
making it very artistic and very beautiful.
Yeah.
Because I think what happens is when people don't, I got into Kung Fu movies very early because of things like Kung Fu Theater on Channel 9. And you watch movies like The Five Deadly Venoms. And there's always like an element of mysticism or an element of like the supernatural. And then it's like, oh, well, their vampires are different because they hop. Or,
oh my God, the hopping vampires.
You know, like, or this is going on. And it's just like, okay, it's part of that world. And when I was a kid, you're ready to accept stuff like that because you're like, oh, it's like Star Wars. He's mm-hmm. using the Force or whatever.
Yeah.
And they can fly and do those things.
Suspension of disbelief, whatever, you know.
But I think when people here see that type of stuff, I think what's funny is Americans, we demand realism,
mm-hmm.
except when we're trying to make a realistic movie and we're trying to make like a gritty action movie where like there's explosions and 1,000 bullets and stuff like that.
Yeah.
It's like you might as well be doing a John Woo movie where nobody runs out of ammo and Chow Yun-Fat is just like sliding down the banister with two pistols, just like laying waste to everybody.
Exactly.
I love Kung Fu because it's a, mm-hmm. it's like a very different, it's got its own sensibility.
Yeah, and it has its own language and stuff,
yeah.
like how they do things.
I don't know. And I think even though Kill Bill was supposed to be like a celebration of the Japanese
mm-hmm.
style, I think it's just as much a celebration of of the Chinese, that kind of movie where you have, like, you know, especially with the girl where she has the go-go and she has like the guillotine on the thing.
Oh my God.
That's so Master of the Flying Guillotine.
I should cosplay as her.
You, why haven't you?
I don't know.
All you Asians look the same. We've already established that.
It's just the fact that I actually kind of a little bit look like her. Is that like?
I don't think you do.
No?
No.
I've heard that before, so I don't know. I don't think I look like a lot of people though.
No, you know why?
So because I like take from.
She's very, I would say that her face is very angular. And I don't get that from you.
It's true. I have a very round face.
You have very round, like soft features.
I have like squishy everything, so. Yeah.
But it's adorably squishy.
Oh, thank you.
What voice were you going to do? The,
I don't know. I don't know. I do a lot of weird voices.
Do you ever go? You said you wanted to be a voice actress. You mentioned that in passing.
Well, like.
You thought about it.
Like briefly.
Let me hear your best voice.
Like what?
Can you impersonate anybody? Can you do an impression?
I don't know. Sometimes when I go out in public, especially with my little brother, I will speak in a Valley Girl voice.
Okay, let's hear it.
And it's pretty bad, and I'll just talk like this the whole time because it's really embarrassing. It's just not something that you would expect out of, like, my mouth and stuff because, like, I mean, like, look at me.
Oh, my God. That reminds me of a Mystery Science Theater where they did this 80s movie called Warrior of the Lost World. And it was supposed to be like these barbarians and like a post-apocalyptic future. And this girl just has like the super blown out 80s like feathered hair. And she's looking for her father who's a magician, I think, or a sorcerer. A sorcerer, not a magician. And they just show her like walking through this cave. And I just remember they show this close-up of her face. And she's got like the slightly parted lips and just like this
just confusion.
Like, a confused look. And they're just going, Dad? Dad? And oh my God, that used to make me just bust up.
That's awesome. No, I'll do that. I'll do that with my brother out because it annoys him so much. I'm like, Andrew, like, I know we're at Target and stuff, and I just want to buy everything. I mean, like, look at those plates. I freaking love
how old
those
is your brother?
Plates. He is. Oh, Jesus. How old is my brother? He's 19.
Okay.
Wow, I forgot how old he is.
You know what's cool, though, is on Facebook, you and your brother seem to get along really, really well.
He's like my partner in crime.
That's awesome. That's good. Yeah. But I love that you're just doing that walking.
Yeah, we're really, like, there are times when, like, even at, like, the checkout stand, like, you'll just see the cashier. We'll have, like, back and forth where we're both really sarcastic people, mm-hmm. and my brother has a really dry sense of humor. And so a lot of the things that we say to each other are dry, and they sound like verbal abuse a lot of times. And so people are looking at us like, those are really mean things to say. Yeah. And they're like, they're just saying it like it's nothing.
Yeah, that's the best thing. I think that really comes from being part of another culture, though, where you don't have the... Like, you know, my family, they'll just say stuff and you're just like, what? Like, that would devastate a normal person. Like, you know what I mean? Like, the person would end up crying, like, you know, and then it's just like, but it's your family, so you're like, wow, you really look fat. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah. Well, I mean, like, that kind of stuff, if it came from my parents, would be different, you know? Yeah. But if my brother says it, he'll be like, well, maybe you should stop being a fat ass. I'm like, well, maybe you should stop sucking so many dicks, you know?
Whoa!
Stuff like that,
you took it to a whole nother level on the superiority complex. G-rated for kids.
I'm sorry.
No, it's fine. Nobody listens.
That's not true.
That's always my thing. We always get a nice bump in the numbers when Julie's on there, so I can't wait to see.
Oh, jeez.
You're a nerd. You're popular amongst the nerds.
Oh, jeez.
What do you think that is?
I don't really know. I mean, like, I feel like it's just because I have a lot to talk about, and I don't know. Mario, it's like... I feel like, you know, we don't, like, see each other a lot, and so when we do, I just have a lot to say, and I have a lot of feelings, and I have opinions, and I think they're important, and people, like, should listen. Oh, I'm just saying.
What do you have opinions? I mean, do you want to share some of your opinions?
I have opinions on things, you know?
What do you think this girl's name would be, this character you're doing? Like, if you
guys
give her a name.
I don't know. I think that should be an assignment for, I mean, people that are listening. If you can think of a name for me, like, that'd be really awesome.
You really sound like a Kelly or like a...
Brittany.
A Brittany.
Brittany. Or a Heather.
Brittany's perfect, Brittany. Okay. And I know a couple of Brittanys. No offense to the Brittanys out there. I don't think any of them listen, but... Or you would have to have a name that's just like super LA, Southern California, like...
Sunshine.
Quinoa.
Quinoa. Oh my God.
Quinoa is the
I like that.
And like this kind of girl, this is the kind of girl, like just the voice you're doing, you're going to come in and you're going to order, you're going to want, you're at a bar, you're going to want something with acai. Yep. Or you're going to want like, do you have pomegranate? Like, I can't even do it. Like,
I just really need my antioxidants for the day.
And I want, or you're going to order a skinny margarita. Cause
oh my God. I know. Or those girls like, can I get like a burger? But I mean, I'm trying this new vegan thing. So if you can make it like as not beefy as possible. And also I'm gluten intolerant. So if you can just leave out the bun and like use lettuce instead. But I mean, if it's like organic lettuce, that's like locally grown, that'd be really appreciative because our earth is dying. And I think we should really do something about it. I mean, you know, cause environment.
So I want to keep interviewing this girl. So
I don't know if anyone would want to listen to this girl all the time though.
Yeah, it's kind of funny because you find yourself in life just doing a character. Like when you're at work, you basically have to be a character that you're not when you're at home, you know? Yeah. And so I'm always, especially you worked at Disney. So that's really even more to another level. You've got to be like, did that character ever come out? Like while you were, what's great about the way you're talking though, when you do it is you're speaking very lazily. Like it's really a struggle to like get the words out too.
Yeah.
But at the same time, you don't stop talking. Like it's such a great dichotomy.
I feel like that's the character though. You know, she has a lot to say, but she's not going to make the effort to have you hear it. Like you're going to listen to her or not. Like, but no, it doesn't matter if you're listening, she's going to talk.
I love it.
And the thing is I've met people like that. They'll just talk at you and you're like, okay. And
I'm that person.
No, you're not. At least you're interesting, you know.
Thank you. I made her say it on microphone. You know, let's take a quick break because I have to recover from this. We didn't even get to talk about Netflix.
Oh we'll for sure talk about it.
We'll for sure.
For sure.
See, that's more like your classical Valley girl.
Yeah.
This girl's more like
this one is more evolved.
I feel like she's much more South Orange County. Mm-hmm. I feel like she's much more like San Juan Capistrano
or like Westwood. Silver Lake.
Don't say Westwood because I'm a UCLA fan, so I'm a fan.
Fine.
You're Asian. You have to root for USC. It's part of the or no?
Is that a rule? I don't think that's a rule.
Cal? Stanford?
I don't know.
Are you Stanford or you're no son of mine?
I don't pay attention to college stuff.
Where did you go to school?
I went to Cal Poly Pomona. I dropped out. School pride at all.
That makes two of us, buddy. Yeah, I always tell people about that. About Cal State Fullerton. It's like, the school's so nice, I dropped out twice.
Nice.
It's not a joke. All right, we'll be right back. After the break, I did it right that time. Now I'm just going to screw it up with awkward silence. That was awesome. Okay, I just played the last out of the Dodgers game last night, and it wasn't recording. We're back from the dead. We're watching everybody who walks in like hawks. Have you noticed that? Whenever that thing beeps,
who is it?
Who are you? All right, let me do that again. I like the half. Like we were talking about the half second before when the pitch comes up. So he's setting up.
Yeah.
And then the crowd just went crazy. But it was like living in a sports movie. You just said it was like living in a sports movie.
Yeah,
but
it was living like every day it could be like that where just like these really awesome triumphant moments. You're like, yes.
There are. You just have to make that part of your life.
That's
you have to
true.
Like my wife always laughs. She's like, you have a sound effect for everything. It's because I live it, and I tell her it's because I'm living my life like it's a movie.
All right.
And there's got to be sound effects. So there's characters and there's music. And there's music I play in my head like when I'm driving.
Dude, me too.
What music do you hear in your head?
Like really chipper ukulele music. I'm not even kidding.
There's sometimes if I'm getting on the freeway and I'm just getting on because my car's so small and underpowered that when I jump on the freeway – and like if I can make it on and like it looks like there might be like, oh, I'm going to I might get forced off of the ramp here, but I make it in my head. I'm going dun 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 dun. But I'm doing the real '60s, like, you know, the real jangly guitar, like jangly Sean Connery, like that whole James Bond theme.
That's awesome.
Not the whole digital, like, now. And then if it gets really intense, I hear if it's like, if I'm weaving through traffic, if traffic's starting to slow down, but somehow I'm still going at a steady pace and I'm weaving in and out of traffic, I hear the sound from the battle in Star Wars when they're trying to leave the Death Star. And, you know, don't get cocky, kid, like that whole. Nice. I hear that in my head, you know.
That's good. I wish every day was, you know, we had some sort of soundtrack. You know what has a great soundtrack? I actually just watched the movie last night, How to Train Your Dragon 2.
Oh, I want to get your review. Let's talk about it. How was it?
It was, it was so good. I'm always happy when sequels are good, and this one was pretty fantastic.
By the way, Julie's, I cracked up when I got home. Julie's status update on Facebook was, just got back from seeing How to Train Your Dragon 2, and then all caps, nobody touch me.
I was like, I've been emotionally compromised for sure. Like, I was like, I can't function. I can't. Oh, it's so good. I don't want to, like, give specific emotions to, like, possibly spoil the plot, but it's very heavy on, like, having heart and, like, getting to know the characters more and having some, like, surprising reveals. And
DreamWorks
stuff
is getting much better at that.
Yeah.
They started out being really, like, a kind of a secondhand, you know, like, oh, we're just going to do, like Pixar-like movies.
Yeah, but with not enough
feeling. I feel like with Shrek, and the reason nobody talks about Shrek, even
Shrek
though
was awesome.
It was, but I think people stopped talking about it because all the jokes in there are like, they really kind of date it. So I think people aren't as like, oh, Shrek, like, this movie's timeless. Like when you watch something like Up or something, you're like, yeah, right?
Yeah.
Right in the feelings. Just, you know what I mean? But I think Pixar, especially, they did a good job with Kung Fu Panda, because the first one of that was so,
that was
like,
so surprising to
me. And then Kung Fu Panda 2 came out of left field with like all this emotion and stuff. And it was really, great.
Yeah, exactly.
And I feel like How to Train Your Dragon started out really strong. So I'm really glad to hear How to Train Your Dragon 2.
Oh, it's so good, Mario. You have to see it.
I'm going to check it out. I was going to take my daughter last night. We just, I got the tickets to the Dodger game.
Right. Okay. Yeah. That's fair.
So screw your childhood. No, what ended up happening was, I was going to take her yesterday, and the local public library was having a screening of the Lego movie.
Oh,
right?
That movie was amazing. I saw it 3 times in the theater.
And her little best friend, who she just moved away from, was going to be there.
Aww.
And invited her to go. So my wife's like, I know you wanted to go see How to Train Your Dragon. And I was like, you know, take her to the Lego movie.
Yeah.
I literally had just walked in the door the day before with like Lego movie on Blu-ray. I'm like, check it out.
Nice.
But you know, it's her little friend, and like they wanted to have, and they had a blast. My wife said the library was super packed.
Yeah.
So all the kids were just jammed in there, and all the moms were just out in the library, like reading.
Uh-huh.
But, she had a blast, and she got to see her friends. So
that's cute.
It worked out.
Are we going to analyze the next?
Yeah. I'm going to fix you up with this guy.
What, is he hot? I guess he.
Yeah, I think he
is he a hot nerd? Is he Zach Levi?
Is that a hot nerd?
Oh my god! You know who? Did you watch Chuck on NBC?
Yeah.
Oh, that's him. Yeah.
Yeah. It's not him.
Oh, damn.
But we did see Bruce Campbell earlier today.
He's a handsome man.
I love Bruce.
out of my age range.
That is why Bruce Campbell. That is why the original Spider-Man movies will always trump this Andrew Garfield stuff. Two words: Bruce Campbell. What's wrong? You make face.
But they were so bad.
What?
Well, especially Spider-Man 3.
Oh, Spider-Man 3 was bad. The first two weren't bad.
They weren't terrible.
They're campy.
So are the Andrew Garfield ones.
Here's the thing, though.
Have you seen the second one?
Yeah, I did not like it.
I enjoyed it because I saw it in 3D. Mm-hmm. It was gorgeous in 3D. Mm-hmm. And it was entertaining to me. And it was super cheesy. I feel like also they put the content of 3 movies into one.
Yeah, it was that. There was
so
way too much, going,
was
on.
Going on. Yeah,
a lot happened, but not a lot was going on.
Yeah, exactly. Mm-hmm. But I know they were setting up for the next.
Now,
movie.
Let me tell you this: what's interesting about those 2 movies, and I was thinking about this, those 2 trilogies. Well, it's not a trilogy yet, but it will be. If you take Kirsten Dunst out of the original Spider-Man, it's better,
for sure.
If you take Emma Stone out of The Amazing Spider-Man, it's a lot worse.
Yes.
So if you could somehow, like, flip them.
Well, And the other thing is, like, I like Andrew Garfield's portrayal of Peter Parker more.
See, I don't.
Really? I like sassy Peter Parker.
I think Garfield is a better Spider-Man. I think Maguire is a better Peter Parker because I like nerdy. I like nerdy, awkward, just can't. That's Peter Parker. Like, and it's not till he starts putting on the costume that he becomes like. It's almost like when you're, and we've all had this, you go out on Halloween or something and you're wearing this costume and at first you're like, oh God, I feel so stupid. And that's why you feel impervious. You're like, I'm wearing a costume.
Let's
go to Denny's and eat in this costume. You know? I'm dressed like Steve from Minecraft. It's going to be hilarious. Meanwhile, everybody's like, look at this jackass. This guy's wearing a box. But I feel like that Tobey Maguire was able to play the differences between being Spider-Man and Peter Parker a little bit better than Garfield, where I think Garfield's just sassy, and then he's just sassy with the, you know what I mean?
The costume. I get that, but like I said, I like...
We don't have to agree.
That was a big part of what I like about Peter Parker, is that he's a teenager. He can be a dick, you know? And I think it's funny.
Yeah, he is a dick, because he lets his uncle get shot.
Well, that whole thing.
That's the ultimate dick move in comics, like, you know what I mean?
Yeah, but you know what I mean, where he's just kind of... Yeah, you know, he's young, and so he says things. And,
yeah, I think I think the difference is that Sam Raimi really had a love for the '60s Spider-Man, and that's the Peter Parker he was trying to
right.
He was trying to be, and that's why the third movie was so terrible, because he didn't want to do Venom. He didn't want to do Venom. He wanted nothing to do with Venom, and he's like, please, and they're like, no, you've got to do Venom. People want Venom, and he's like, He even said, I don't understand, you know, the character of Venom. I don't understand why. You know, I don't know.
Which anything. Is a wrong opinion to have.
Well, no, I think Sam Raimi, he gave us Army of Darkness. You've never seen Army of Darkness?
No, is it a horror movie?
Yes.
Okay, then I haven't watched it. I don't watch horror movies. You know this. I don't do horror stuff.
Okay,
I am a pansy.
Here's the only problem.
I'll admit that.
In order to watch Army of Darkness, you're going to have to watch the original Evil Dead, which when I was 11 years old, terrifying.
Nope. Not gonna do it.
If you do not stop this attitude, I'm gonna start playing number stations into your headphones.
No, it's so creepy. I feel like it's telling me things and it's brainwashing me. Like, now that I've heard it, someone's gonna be able to say like a trigger word and I'm gonna go on a killing rampage. You know, like that's how creepy it is.
Yeah,
I don't like it.
Julie hasn't heard last week's episode, so on the way over here, I played her a clip of the number stations. And our reactions to them and her.
I'm so curious now, though. Like,
that's what happens on the internet. That's on the internet.
I kind of want to hear all of them, even though they freak me out. Like, there's still part of me that's really curious.
Tell you what, that's what we're going to listen to on the way home.
I'm
just going to play number stations.
You won't say a word.
I won't say a word. Just listen. Yeah, there is stuff like that where you're just. But what did you say? I think your comment was all aboard the nope train.
Yeah. I say that like all the time now.
Like, nope, all aboard the nope train.
Because that's something I say. I'll just say nope, 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 nope. Like, I'll just say nope. And then just one day I just like all aboard the nope train. I was like, I like that. I'm keeping it.
One of the things I've always taken from Mystery Science Theater was it was something with like, you know, something awful where it was like a bunch of dolls or something, like a bunch of clown dolls or something. And they just go, oh, good old fashioned nightmare fuel.
I've heard that before. I love it. Yeah,
that's the way I always. That's the one I always pull. Just good old fashioned nightmare fuel. Nice. All right, Julie. So we disagree on Amazing Spider-Man. Obviously, you're younger, so it's. I think it's a generational thing too.
And it might be.
It's just the new ones are just. I don't know. He doesn't look like Spider. He looks like a cartoon.
Andrew Garfield?
No. The Spider-Man when he's in the Spider-Man. You know, when he's doing the. It takes me out of it. Somehow the CGI got worse.
The CGI was really weird, especially with this last one with all the Jamie Foxx.
The CGI stuff. Somehow looks worse than the original trilogy from like 2003. It's like that movie's 10 years old. How did that happen?
But I can see what you're saying.
My friend said the same thing with The Hobbit. He said my friend Jake's like, how did the special effects get worse from the time they made Lord of the Rings? Because The Hobbit is like.
It's because they have less real life in person stuff that they're filming. Whereas like Lord of the Rings, there was a lot of on location stuff that they can pull from and a lot of more like set things.
That's why I'm excited about the new Star Wars, because J.J. Abrams is out filming.
And you see his practical creatures, like real creatures and stuff like that. I'm so excited about that. I'm very cautious.
I'm cautiously optimistic.
Yeah.
And we talked about it on this very show. We said, I said, the reason I'm optimistic is because he's not writing it. And that's not to slam him, because the guy, he just doesn't know how to end something. He, but the visuals are always great.
Right.
So I think he, we picked the right, they picked the right guy to pull it off.
The writer, I'm very excited about. I mean, he, Little Miss Sunshine, Toy Story 3. Are it's going
to
be great.
Are you bummed that the Millennium Falcon tried to kill Harrison Ford?
I am. I was really upset. I was like, oh man.
He's out for 8 weeks. They're going to have to wait, and like, they're going to film all his stuff last.
Oh man, I wonder how that's going to turn.
Which is a bummer, because you know what? I feel like my friend John always says that the one scene that he hates, in Return of the Jedi, you know, because that's half of a good movie. If you really, even if you're past the age of 10 and that you don't care about Ewoks anymore, that's not. But he says that one scene where Harrison Ford is saying goodbye to Lando Calrissian, and he said it's obvious they shot it in front of a screen. He's like, and look at it. He's like, they weren't there the same day. It's
I hate when you can tell. Yeah, you're like, they're talking to a ball right now. They're talking to a tennis ball right now.
They're talking to a script girl. Like, talking to a 57-year-old, like, just, you know, script lady. And so whenever we get off the phone, it's always like a 5-minute, hey, not a scratch, you old space pirate. No, you, hey, you. Like, just, hey, not, a, hey.
That's adorable. So. I love it. That's going to be my goodbye to people now.
Yeah, my buddy John said, hey, not a scratch. No, you space pirate, you. And they're just like going back and forth. They're like, get as much coverage as you can.
Oh my God.
We'll fix it in post.
That's adorable.
What about this guy right here?
Nah. Was that rude? I'm sorry.
Right on the podcast.
Was
right
that rude?
I don't know.
He'll never know. Well, no, he might figure it out.
Could be my number one fan.
Could be. I mean, I feel like if it was your number one fan, he'd be like,
Yeah. I don't have any fans. Let's talk about, before we digress to something I keep wanting to get
to,
although we're never going to get to it. What is your type? Do you have a type?
I always thought I did, but it keeps changing. So I don't think I do.
Okay.
You know what I mean?
What is it right now? What's the criteria? It's like, but you know, it's the same thing. If you ask me my top five albums, and this has nothing to do with it, but it's one of those things where you think you like, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Your tastes change.
Yeah. All I know is tall.
You like them tall. What's the minimum?
6 feet.
All right, I mean.
Yes. I don't know. I like tall guys. I like substantial guys.
Two for two.
Like the guy out there right now, he's kind of lanky. He's kind of skinny. You know, I don't. You know, I don't feel like he could bench press me, sort of thing. And I don't know. I'm a tiny, tiny person, and so somehow I like. It's kind of like my thing about preferences with dogs. You know, I love big dogs. Because
you love Ricky because he's fat.
Oh my God, Ricky's special. Like, Ricky has a special place in my heart.
It's so funny how many people come over to the house and that's all they're like. Oh my God, Ricky! Like, anytime I post a picture of him on Facebook, I always crack up at how many likes are people that have been on the podcast or been to the house, because it's like,
he's so derpy, so cute, and the fact that like the mix of breed is perfect. You know, like that's
he's a perfect specimen.
He really is, and he's so sweet.
He's a good dog. He's really good. He's just a happy little guy.
Yeah.
You were sad that I did the ball trick on him. We had to get him back in the house.
Just the look on his face is like, what? Why?
Yeah, sorry, buddy. Don't worry. He's a total bastard, and he will poop on your bed if you give him half a chance.
Oh, God. I don't know that.
Yeah. what other movies did you see this summer? Winter Soldier, did you give it a thumbs up?
It is very close to Avengers on my ranking.
Yes.
It was such a good movie. Yeah. It had everything.
And they tied it. And could have been terrible. Could have been, they made a great standalone movie. It worked on its own, and it works as part of the bigger picture, because obviously they've set a lot of stuff up for later on.
There's a lot of stuff that I'm speculating about and also knowing about like casting things. I have a lot of theories of like what's going to happen, even though there are some storylines that I want them to go down that I know they're not going to, but I wish so hard that they would.
Like which one?
Like the Civil War.
It looks like they were setting up for it.
It
looks like they maybe.
They maybe, or they might do a variation of it.
Because Crossbones is in there.
Yes. And then the whole knowing that Chris Evans isn't coming back for as many movies as Sebastian Stan is.
Yeah.
So that, you know.
Which is a bummer, because I think Chris Evans is, really great as Captain America.
He's perfect. I'm convinced that Marvel just breeds people. Like, there's a farm somewhere where they've grown perfect specimens for these characters.
Yeah, because if you would have told me that that Star-Lord was going to be the guy from Parks and Rec, I would have been like, what? And then you see him in the
thing.
And
he's perfect. It's
perfect, yeah.
I'm so excited they really about know what they're that doing. Movie.
I know. And each preview just keeps getting better and better.
This is the most recent one, yeah. Where you get to see more of Rocket.
Yeah.
He's going to steal the movie. I know it.
I didn't know that Gillian Anderson is going to be on a sitcom. She's like on some sitcom for ABC. I saw she's like an American TV show, and I just saw that it was her. Karen Gillian.
Yeah. I was like, who
Karen Gillian. I'm sorry. Yeah. What did I say?
Gillian, someone.
Anderson. Oh, I'm talking about X-Files.
Yeah. I was like, what?
She's going to be on, Karen Gillian is going to be on, it's Gillian, but I keep saying Gillian.
Oh, no. I've seen it. It looks really stupid.
Does it?
Yeah. It's with, what is his name? The guy from Harold and Kumar.
Sulu. Mr. Sulu.
Yeah. There we go. I saw the trailer for the show and she has an American accent and the show looks awful. I'm so sorry.
But you know what? I don't care.
I'm going to watch it because it's her and it's him and it's a modern telling of Pygmalion or My Fair Lady.
Is that what it is?
Yeah. And the show is called Selfie.
I could have danced all night.
I don't think there will be singing, unfortunately.
I could have danced all night and still have begged for more. I could have spread my wings. This is awful.
That was beautiful. What are you talking about? It's gorgeous.
I do not sing, and that is why.
That's a lie. That's
usually the number I do from that is On the Street Where You Live is usually the one
I love. I used to be able to play it on the piano.
Do it. Sing it.
No.
I have often walked down this street before. That's what I do. you want me to do it from far away? All at once am I. There you go. That was very flat. I don't sing at all. The reason I love that movie is because of our high school teacher, Mr. Kelly. Shout out to Mr. Kelly if he's still alive out there. He was amazing. He showed us Pygmalion and then showed us My Fair Lady. If you watch My Fair Lady, you've seen the film, obviously.
Oh, many times.
So Freddie Eynsford Hill, you know, who sings On the Street Where You Live, Jeremy Brett.
Yeah.
Do you know where he went on to play?
No.
Unfortunately, it's not on Netflix anymore. He is, with all respect to Benedict Cumberbatch, he is to me the quintessential Sherlock Holmes.
Really? Like classic Sherlock.
They did a series called The Adventures. It started with The Adventures and then they did three more series. And the sad thing is he died of heart failure. He had heart failure. So at the very, very first series, it was like in 84 and they followed like the stories to the letter. Mm-hmm. So it was the first one where Watson really wasn't like a bumbler and like was like this, but they're really, really great. And if you ever get a chance to see them, if you ever get a chance, they're really, really solid, really good. And he's so perfect and funny.
They used to be on Netflix, right?
They were on Netflix.
Yeah. I think I started one.
Yeah. And
then got distracted.
The great thing is that he plays it like he was a stage actor. So he totally plays it as he plays basically Sherlock Holmes as like this very theatrical. Everybody comes in and is playing very naturally and he's just super like, but it makes it
awesome. He's got flair.
Because it's really good because it kind of like adds to the character because you're like, well, he's weird anyway. You know, he's like this eccentric character.
Very true.
But he's just so good at being, like just very dismissive and just a real jerk. And you're just like, oh my God, this is awesome. But then he can also turn around and be very charming and warm. But it's really, really good.
Yeah, Sherlock does.
I don't know where they are. I don't know where they exist. I wanted to ask you, I want to touch briefly because my wife and I do a thing called Mad Game where we talk about Game of Thrones and Mad Men.
Yeah.
And I have to save myself for that podcast. But I just want to get an overview of you. Of what you thought of this season.
Okay. Well, first of all, I haven't read the books.
Nor have I.
Okay.
Which is perfect. That's why I love it because that's why my wife and I wanted to do it because neither of us have read the books. Mm-hmm. And so we like being surprised.
Yeah. Even though I've heard from a lot of book readers that this season there have been quite a few surprises for them too.
Which is cool too because I feel like I know a lot of people who watch The Walking Dead and they always say that it's a different animal watching the show.
Oh yeah, it's totally different.
Which is cool because you know I mean, I like that they're being faithful, but at the same time, they work within the framework very well. So what did you like about it?
I love the season because it wasn't like the past season or the one, wait, we're in season four, right?
Season four.
Yeah. Yeah. Or like the past two seasons, I feel like, it's always building up to something, you know? So there are slow moments and, you know, you sense that things are coming, but sometimes things don't happen. You have to wait.
Yeah.
Whereas this season, I feel like every single episode, something was happening, you know, there was a lot of build up to things, but that doesn't mean that things didn't happen.
Ironically, there. The last two that weren't like that, the last two weren't like that. I felt like,
really?
I felt like the last two were the weakest only because we kind of already.
No,
because they didn't feel the same. They had a different feeling.
They did. Yeah. Yeah. So especially the second to last one.
The second to last one is like, okay, this is the episode we have to do to get to where we're going.
Right. Yeah.
And then the last episode was, this is the episode we have to do to set up everything for next season. Mm-hmm. And so because I think they had to follow it, it took away some of that spontaneity. I like them. Don't get me wrong. I like them. But it took away some of that spontaneity that you were feeling for the rest of the season.
I don't know. I feel like the battle at the wall. I don't know. I feel like it, you know, obviously it had to happen. It had to lead to that. And I think it felt different because with Game of Thrones, you start expecting surprises. You start expecting the worst or whatever. Whereas that episode, it just kind of played out. And I'm okay with that.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, I thought that was a really nice change of pace. And, you know, some of the characters got their moments and things like that. So I like it because we don't want to get to kind of like the Moffat syndrome, as I say on Doctor Who, where like everything is a surprise, but nothing makes sense.
Nothing makes sense.
Yeah.
We're surprising you just to tell you like,
for the sake of surprising you. And I just don't want Game of Thrones to turn into that, you know? So I appreciated the whole Jon Snow following his story and what was happening and what was happening with him.
And I think that that's the problem I had with the end of the Mountain and the Viper was, and we can talk about that.
Episode.
Okay. But I think because they were so good, they've been so good at surprising that played out exactly the way you expected it to.
Oh, I was expecting it the entire episode.
Right?
Like even the episode, I had a huge long discussion with my brother about this because we were like, because I wanted Oberyn. He's a great character.
He's such a good character.
He's so complex and I like what he stands for. And I like,
he's got the voice of the bee in the Nasonex commercial. It's really great.
He does. Oh, God. But no, he's a great character. He's a really good, addition.
Yeah,
to,
yeah, yeah.
You know, he's complex. He had a lot of different stuff. But he just had a lot going on. And I was like, I want him to win. And I know.
You know he's not going to.
Yeah, I knew he wasn't going to. Also because I was like, I need to see the Mountain and the Hound. Like, something needs to be resolved between them. So I was like, most likely that's more of the resolution they'd get. And so in my head, I was just like, Oberyn's not going to make it through this one. So the whole time I was like,
I'm keep listening. I think Victoria. No, Victoria went out to lunch.
Oh.
And so she just like locked up the store and left.
Oh, okay. Well, I guess we're minding the store now.
Yeah, yeah. So the.
Like I was expecting the whole time, and not only that, I was like, Oberyn, I feel like is not. I was like, not only is he going to not make it through this episode, it's going to be brutal.
Yeah.
Like I knew it was going to be really bad, but when it happened, it was still kind of a surprise because, you know, things go so well for him during the battle.
Yeah.
And then he starts monologuing.
Yeah,
and I was like,
never monologue.
I was literally yelling at my laptop. I was just like, shut up and kill him. He's right. I was yelling. I was so mad.
It reminded me of a scene in the movie The Good, the Bad, and the Ugly where Eli Wallach plays a Mexican bandit. So you have a Jewish New York stage actor playing a Mexican bandit. Nice. But someone comes to kill him and he's in a bathtub. Mm-hmm. And, you know, he's got him dead to rights and he says something like, oh, I've been waiting for this a long time, whatever. Yeah. And then all of a sudden from under the water, you just see him firing the gun and killing the guy.
Mm-hmm.
And he gets out of the bath and he like puts clothes on and he just stands over the guy and he says, if you're going to kill somebody, kill them. Don't talk. Like, that's exactly what I thought of. Like, you know, when I saw that, I was like, as soon as like, you knew the fight was going too well.
Yeah. And with Oberyn, I get it. He was doing the whole, my name is Inigo Montoya. My father prepared to die. You know, it doesn't always turn out that well for everyone. And I knew it wasn't going to turn out well for him. And, it hurts so bad, especially like, the actors' like reactions, you know. By the way, Peter Dinklage this season. I mean, he's always been amazing, but can we talk about his rant when he's on trial?
Oh, that was the best. That was some of the best TV I've ever seen.
Yeah, not only that, but like the episode after that when he's having... Was it the episode after when he's talking to Jamie about the Beatles?
Yeah, it was two episodes after,
where he's talking about the Beatles, and that was amazing too.
Yeah.
And then this past finale was amazing. He's just getting a ton of screen time. I'm really happy about, because he's an amazing
actor.
He's
really great. And he's that's why I kind of knew he was going to, spoiler alert, I knew he was going to get out of whatever situation.
Oh, yeah.
There's two characters I feel will make it. Daenerys, just because of where she is as far as her story has not even begun to be told yet.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, her story's kind of dipped a little bit.
You know what? There's the movie The Seven Samurai. And for all intents and purposes, to the people in Westeros, she is the villain because she's trying to come and disrupt their way of life. You're seeing it from her point of view, so she's a very heroic character, and she's freeing slaves and she's doing all this stuff. Mm-hmm. But to the people in Westeros, she's a villain, you would think.
Yeah.
And when they did the movie The Seven Samurai, they remade it as a movie called The Magnificent Seven, and Eli Wallach, we brought up as in Good, the Bad, the Ugly, he is the villain. He plays a Mexican bandit in that too.
Yeah.
And he said the reason he took the part was because you only see the villain at the beginning. Mm-hmm. In the rest of the movie, they're talking about him. Because if you don't know the plot of The Seven Samurai, it's the plot of A Bug's Life.
Oh, okay.
There's this village, gotcha. There's these bandits that are raiding them, and they have to go hire these samurai.
Oh.
But all you keep hearing is about the bandits are coming. So when they did The Magnificent Seven, it's this, I forgot his name, but he's the head of the bandits.
Mm-hmm.
And so they keep talking about, oh, so-and-so is coming, so-and-so is coming. And Eli Wallach said, this is great. I'm only on screen for like 15 minutes, but you talk about me the whole movie.
Ah.
He's like, that's an amazing thing.
Yeah.
And I think what's going on with Daenerys is... I think maybe in the books, that's probably the way it goes down, or you're getting more into like her insight.
Yeah.
But you don't really, she's not doing a lot as far as, it's not advancing the plot when you show it every,
you
know, because everybody else's story is moving forward so quickly on that show.
Yeah. Where for her, it's like, we don't really know what's going to happen.
Yeah. Next. And so I feel like, okay, you can kind of put her at pause. So she's not going to die yet if she's going to die at all.
Mm-hmm.
But anybody else is up for grabs. But I feel like Tyrion still has a lot to offer.
He does. And also Arya, just because George R. R. Martin's wife told him that if he killed Arya, she would leave him. So you didn't know the story?
No, we know.
So Arya is the only person that we know for sure, like without a doubt at all, that she's going to be fine.
That's amazing.
Well, fine. You know.
By the way, Arya, well, not killing her, she could be alive and be, you know, she could be in a vegetative state or something and technically not be dead.
Well, I know, but I don't think he'd do that.
You've seen
his wife.
Enough movies where genies are involved that you know you got to like really hammer that stuff out.
That's true. A lot of rules. She's safe, and I love her character development this season.
What was the name of that story? The Monkey's Paw? The Monkey's Paw. You never heard that story?
What?
Okay, keep going. Remind me of Monkey's Paw before we go.
Okay, yeah, I'm going to write it down. But no, Arya, she's going to be the biggest little badass.
And I loved the reaction when they get to her aunt's castle and she just laughs.
Yeah,
busts up
at first, like, I didn't know what the laughing was. Because my brother, we both had different opinions of like why she laughed like that. And his opinion was... because of she was laughing at the Hound.
Yeah.
Because he had gone through all of this for her, and in the end, sorry, no reward money.
Nothing.
Or for me, how I took it was that she kind of thought in her head, of course she's dead.
Of course
she's dead.
Yeah.
Of everything that has happened to me, you know, this tiny glimmer of hope, of course she's dead.
I think it's a little of both. And,
probably.
But with that character, it could be either one.
Yeah.
Because she's very cynical for a little kid.
Mm-hmm.
And, again, I love that. Everybody on that show is so good. What I did love about the the second to last episode, I can't remember the name of it, but when they were battling at the wall, is poor Kit Harington always gets a lot of like, well, he's so boring. He's such a boring actor. It's like, dude, this guy's from a bleak background. He's a bastard. He has nothing.
Yeah.
He lives at the wall. He's not going to be walking around like chipper and whistling while he works. Like everybody's, he's a very somber character.
Right,
and he's a lot like Ned, I think. Mm-hmm. I think he's a lot like Ned.
holds a lot of honor, you know.
Yeah, I just think, you know, I think that really gave him a chance to really do some stuff. So, you know.
Yeah, and also, who's another person? Sansa. I love her development.
Now she does the Maleficent. She's
playing the game now.
Yeah,
she's playing the game out, and I love that about her. That whole episode with her and Littlefinger and the whole moon door resolution of Aunt Liza was so great. No, the one after that where they kind of pull her in and was like, you know, what actually happened? And she starts going down, like she starts actually telling the truth. And you're like, oh shit, she's gonna like throw him under the bus for sure.
Nope.
And she starts, the crocodile tears start coming out and she's flat out lying to them. And you're just like, girl, you are so impressive right
now. She had it in her the whole time.
Oh my God, it was so and that look that she gives him when they're hugging and still, and she just looks at him like, I know what I'm doing. You know, yeah, I love it. I love it. I love it. I just love her so much. And it makes me mad when people say things like, Sansa's so weak. She's the whole reason why, like, everything's effed up in the first place. Like, if she hadn't tried so hard with Joffrey in the first place, like, none of this would have happened, blah, blah, blah. And I'm like, yeah, she made her mistakes, but, like, stuff was going to go down anyway. Exactly. It was already messed up. And people don't notice how smart and how manipulative she is and has been. Like, that whole scene where they were going to kill the knight, you know, the one who eventually helps her
out,
where the whole scene with that, where they make him drink the wine and all that stuff. And then she turns to Joffrey and she's just like, yeah, you're right. You know, he is a fool, but he would probably make a better fool than be dead. You know, like he doesn't deserve the swift justice of death. You know, I think he should. And then he's like, you know, he's like, did you hear that? Like, you know, my lady has said that, has made her demands, and you're going to be my fool now. You're going to be the royal fool. And she knows exactly what she's doing.
Yeah.
And it makes me mad when people are like, oh, she's so dumb. Well, you know,
you have to think of her as like she's a princess, and she knows very much, you know, that she can get by on her looks. You know, she's going to use her looks. She's going to like disarm people. And, you know, bratty kids always know how to manipulate the situation.
That's true.
It's just a matter of figuring it out. She's she's not as – she doesn't have the street smarts that Arya has.
Yeah.
But
she is smart as a whip.
But she knows the politics. She knows how things work.
Yeah.
You know, she knows – you know, she was innocent, but she also had an idea of how things work. Yeah.
And especially now she has a leg up because she knows Littlefinger's intent. You know, she knows exactly what he wants, and she's going to manipulate him that way.
I'm really bummed we're not seeing any more of Diana Rigg this season as the grandmother.
Oh, she was fabulous. I loved her.
Have you ever seen pictures of her when she was young?
Mm-hmm.
She was amazing. She was on the television show The Avengers, not the Marvel comics, but the British show. And she was a Bond girl, and she was amazingly beautiful, and people forget. Like, I show people pictures, and they're like, that's her. I'm like, that's her, man. It's yeah, I loved this season. I really thought it was great. And when I say the last two episodes were, I'm not saying they're bad by any stretch, but I'm saying compared to everything that came before it, they were a little bit of a letdown, but I mean, like, I'm talking like from A+ to A-.
Got it.
Not like oh, those were terrible.
Yeah.
It was just like that is one of the few shows that I think has been able to maintain a season consistently well.
Yeah.
Where there's not an episode where you just go, meh.
No, especially not this season. Yeah. I mean, there have been a few episodes in the past where I'm like, well, that was all kind of leading up to something and whatever, cool, but this one was literally like every single episode I was making like audible gasps or like had like real reactions
to things. Something was going on.
Yeah.
There were so many nights this season where my wife would just send me a text and say, don't get on Facebook.
Yeah.
Don't get on Twitter. Just come home and we'll watch it.
Like, I made sure every time it came out that I watched it like right when it came out because I knew.
One person ruined the Purple Wedding for me because they thought I had seen it.
Oh.
Because I was on Messenger on my phone. My Messenger was on my phone.
Uh-huh.
So they're just like, hey, blah, 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 blah. And I was like, I am not home yet. I'm like driving home.
Oh, no.
Right now. And they're just like, oh, sorry about it.
I had something spoiled for me.
What?
I'm not going to tell you. But why? It's a big...
You can tell me.
No, it hasn't happened yet. It hasn't happened. It was a book reader that told me...
You can tell me off the air.
Okay. But yeah, it's a big thing that's going to happen. And I'm actually really excited about it. And I'm not so mad at them that they spoiled it for me.
I found out about the Red Wedding because I was in a place where I overheard two people talking about it because they had read the books. And this was like in season one.
Oh, man. That's awful. I'm glad that never got spoiled
so
for me.
So I talk about being bummed. You find out about, like, it's like, that's like three characters. You're just like, well, I know what happens to that guy.
Yeah, and like at that point early on in the show, you don't see that happening to them at all. I mean, like up until that moment, you don't see it happening to them. Yeah. But still, like that early on, you're like, things are still kind of happening and they're good.
Yeah.
They can pull out of this one fine.
There's no hope. There's no hope in that world, man. It's the most bleak, hopeless. There's no.
And I love every second of it.
I know I'm going to see dragons fighting White Walkers. That's all it's going to be. Everybody else is going to be dead. It's going to be an army of zombies fighting dragons. It's going to be the last season. Last episode.
It'll be epic. I'll watch it.
You got to watch Army of Darkness. It's the greatest movie of all time.
I don't do horror.
It's not really a horror movie.
I think I've told you this. I was traumatized by Jurassic Park.
Were you traumatized because he said, "Welcome to Jurassic Park"?
No, it's scary.
What is the scariest movie you'll see?
I'm thinking about watching Cabin in the Woods.
Oh my God, it's awesome.
Yeah, I've heard.
I just burped. That's how awesome it is. It forced me to force air out of my esophagus. I don't know if that's how biology works, of the biology of burps. Check it out. It is gross. Yeah. It's not scary, mm-hmm. but it's gross.
I don't like jump things.
You read Lock and Key.
That's not that scary.
A family gets murdered.
It's pretty gruesome. But no, I have a better time reading scary things. I was a huge Stephen King fan.
Yes.
But I can't watch scary things. I don't know. That doesn't make sense. But that's just me. I'll read it. If it's in book form,
I want you to
read it.
I want you to watch Cabin in the Woods.
Okay.
Because if you can watch Cabin in the Woods, Army of Darkness, this is like early 90s.
So it's cheesy and stuff.
Well, you know what? You don't really have to watch it because the whole thing you just have to watch. You just have to know that the character that's in the movie is from the original Evil Dead. And what happens is he has to cut off his own hand because the evil gets in it.
Ugh.
So in part three, he puts a chainsaw onto his arm.
Buh.
But he's fighting zombies.
Oh.
It's hilarious.
It's not so much scary.
No, it's so stupid and so dumb and funny.
Maybe.
It's so dumb.
I'll think about
it. You have to see it. Well, Julie, we're going to wrap it up because we did a good show today.
Yeah?
We talked about nothing.
We literally nothing.
But it was fun. I felt like we had a good time.
I think so too. And I hope people can sense that. It was fun.
I feel like we had a great time.
I hope they had fun with
Sometimes I like to do episodes like this where we just sit and chat. I feel like, because you know why? We haven't caught up with you in a while.
Mm-hmm.
You're like everybody's sweetheart. Everybody loves Julie. Like Lauren Nichols is another one where like if Lauren comes on, my numbers get a bump. Yeah. Julie, you come on, and my number. You know what I mean? So that's the reason. It's all calculating. I'm just doing it to get people to listen.
I'm totally okay with being used in that
way. I love you're just a person I love coming in and we can talk for 90 minutes about dumb stuff and it doesn't feel like I've wasted. You know, like, oh, God, that was a chore.
No.
Like, I feel like if I broke now, we could talk about something else or another. We're not going to. God, no.
I need food.
Because I'm hungry.
Yeah.
But I feel like that could happen. I got to go buy my Star Wars shirt.
Oh, yeah. It's really cool.
I'm buying a Star Wars shirt. All right, guys. Well, you know, for Julie Kang, do you have anything you want to promote? Recommend? Do you have anything you want to, final words?
I don't know. I guess thanks for listening and hanging out with me and quinoa.
I want to hear quinoa. What movies are quinoa looking forward to seeing? Let me ask you this real quick. What are the top five movies in quinoa's DVD collection?
Quinoa just really, really loves
Mean Girls.
Oh my God. I was so going to say Mean Girls. I love Mean Girls, and, you know, I feel like I have a lot of documentaries in my repertoire because I like to stay informed about the world because politics, and, you know, it's just really important for people to know.
Like, what's your favorite documentary, Quinoa?
My favorite documentary, I don't know what it's called, but it's French. So you know that it's very serious because Europeans, they care more. And I just feel like Americans, like USA, we just need to get on that level of being aware of issues.
I don't know what it's called.
It's French. Okay. It's too much for you. You wouldn't understand
this. This is my favorite character of all time.
Thank you.
Well, quinoa for quinoa And for Julie Kang, I will say that this, oh my God, I can't right now. Okay. This transmission ends now. We're going to Farrell's.